Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple of dudes who like to sit around and drink novelty beverages and talk about Alex Jones. Today on the docket, this is a Jordan pick. What do we got?
We have Bai Bubbles.
B-A-I.
Yes.
Great.
Go ahead and take a sip, Dan.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's what I should do.
Yep. While you're doing that, Dan, you know a lot about Alex Jones.
It's true.
And I don't know why you quit drinking. That's the reality of the situation.
That's a good summation. I don't either. Quite frankly, this makes me want to get drunk.
I don't know what it tastes like, but bad is definitely whatever
it tastes like. It tastes like Crystal Light.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
This does not need to deteriorate into a bizarre beverage review podcast. We're here on a mission. We're here to talk about Alex Jones. Guys, we got some exciting announcements.
Yes, we do. You have been nonstop telling me about them, but unfortunately, due to the constraints of this podcast, I don't know what any of them goddamn are.
So many texts like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It's like edging. You're
you know what?
Doing a weird porn thing to
a
me.
A lot of it is not going to be released right now.
God damn it, Dan!
So I should tell everybody, we are about to embark on an in-depth investigation that I've been doing behind the scenes for the last month or so. And our first episode in that investigation will drop tomorrow. However, we recorded it last weekend.
Right.
So we're still drinking wine on that episode. And it's too long.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
But I wanted to hold on to it until the investigation got a little bit deeper, and it has. And time is of the essence.
Okay.
Because I think disaster is right around the corner.
In like life or for Alex Jones?
For Alex Jones.
I mean, I both. I'm assuming.
We'll get into it in depth as we discuss today's episode, which is May 25th of this year, 2017. That was this Thursday. Gonna go over all the crazy shit that happened. Alex Jones, he's lost it.
Okay.
And this is fucking over the top.
No.
You'll see.
Way more.
You'll see.
Okay, okay.
But before we get into it, here's an out of context drop from someone who ends up being a guest on this episode. His name is Larry Nichols, and you'll learn a ton more about him in tomorrow's episode. But just for fun, here's an out of
context. You're edging our crowd, too. This is
totally.
Okay. God damn it, you tease.
Here's an out of context drop of something Larry Nichols said on a 2015 appearance of his on the show.
Y'all may not know it, but back when Hillary was first lady, she would go on the weekends to California with Lyndon Budworth Thomason and some of the other ladies that designed and women. And they went to a church for witches. Witches.
Wait, what?
Witches. Do you want your president? Remember that lady that was trying to run for the Senate, and sometimes she'd gone to some place where they did
witch
stuff?
I bet she's a witch.
Stuff.
I bet
Hillary
she's a witch.
Went to a church and worshipped Satan.
I love that so much. Witches. Witches.
Witches?
But even take that away. I had to listen to that clip like 10 times because I'm like, is he saying that Hillary Clinton hung out with people from designing women? I looked it up. He was saying
that. He was saying that the women from designing women.
Well, not like Meshach Taylor.
Okay.
Or Delta Burke.
Right, but
the producer of designing women
is a witch.
I don't know.
And Hillary went to a church, a coven.
Right.
I believe is, thanks, Larry.
Nichols
get it fucking right.
Nichols doesn't care about nomenclature.
Learn more about, watch The Craft at least, Larry Nichols.
I think what he's going on is the lady's last name is Bloodworth. I think that's what he's going
that,
off
well,
of.
Well, open and shut case. That's
witch.
All I needed.
Witch.
Her last name's Bloodworth. Witch.
Also, I'd like to, before we get started in earnest, like to give a shout out to a donator that I don't believe we've given a shout out to yet.
Witches.
This one's going out to you, Ryan.
I'm a policy wonk.
Congratulations. Welcome to the team.
Welcome aboard, Ryan.
I apologize if I'm doubling back and giving someone a second policy wonk status. But anyway, Jordan.
If you do get a second policy wonk status, we will, of course, invoice you for the second donation.
You're obligated to return it of your own volition. We're
right,
not
right.
We're not going to hunt you down. So, Jordan.
Yes.
I don't even want to tell you anything about what's going to happen because I want to watch you discover how seriously fucked up this episode is.
Great.
So I'm not going to give any context. Let's just listen to the first clip.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, the information I've got so big, so powerful, that I'm going to go ahead and just air a 3-minute report by Paul Watson because
God
I need to just
damn it.
Catch my breath and collate the information I've got. Because it's so important.
Why didn't you do that
and
before
also
you started
very,
the
very
fucking
careful
show.
How I put this out because of
You're
sources.
You're a professional!
But this country is in a civil war.
All right.
The White House knows that. This country's in a fight for its life. We have Seth Rich info. We have White House info. We have press corps info. We have foreign information on Russia. We have so much today that's so huge, much bigger than Watergate. And it's all coming up.
I agree.
After this break. So we're just going to go ahead and go to this report from Paul Joseph Watson that just gives you an idea of the type of trash we're dealing with.
Katy Perry is a complete idiot.
Oh, for fuck's sake! What? That's what we go directly to. Katy Perry is an idiot.
It's 3 minutes of a report about fuck you, Katy Perry.
That's it?
Yeah.
They hired Paul Joseph Watson to really finally take it to Katy Perry. Is it because they're Taylor Swift fans? Is that what it is?
Unfortunately, no. It has nothing to do with Left Shark.
Okay.
It's because after the Manchester bombing, she went on a radio show and said that we should all try and love each other and promote unity. And we don't need borders and this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, that does sound stupid.
It does sound like, well, the borders part is probably unfortunate phrasing.
Hey,
but
loving people? Nuh-uh.
The rest
I'm a-gin it.
The rest of it's real strong stuff from Katy Perry. Look, I'm not going to go to bat for Katy Perry. She seems to be doing a really weird thing these days.
Who cares?
Seems to be acting like a little bit of a...
Who cares about Katy Perry?
That's the more important part.
Zero caring!
Especially when you start your show, like, I've got fucking huge political information that's going, it's bigger than Watergate, now let my London friend talk shit on a pop star.
Why? That was the beginning of the show, and
beginning.
His first words are like, dude, we gotta get this information ready for you.
Yeah.
We have been fucking sleeping up until this point.
I've been jacking my dick.
Yeah, what were you guys doing?
Yeah. He claims to wake up at like 5 a.m. He goes on air at 11.
Right.
So like, what are you doing for that 6 hours of not collating this information? I have no fucking idea.
What?
We're going to get to it.
What is he doing for that 6 hours?
We're not going to get to that. I have no idea. But we're
going to
get
to. Does he have a hyperbaric chamber that he just sits in?
He does have an elliptical. He talks about that a lot.
Oh,
okay. That's another thing we should bring up.
5 straight hours of ellipticaling.
All right. Everybody is clowning hard on Alex Jones because there was a before and after picture of him that came out.
With the Supermale Vitality. Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
the supplements, not even just Supermale
just
Vitality.
Just all of them?
Yeah, I guess.
It made him turn red.
Basically.
Yeah.
I argue he's a little bit more defined. But anyway, everyone has been everyone has been tweeting or texting that picture to me.
Right.
And I'm fucking sick of it. So here's what I'm going to do. Starting today. Memorial Day.
We're going to have an animation contest.
No.
Over who can... Okay. Sorry.
I am going to take none of Alex Jones's supplements, and I'm going to create before and after pictures of myself and see if I can get better results than Alex Jones without his supplements.
All right. Well, that's the least scientific thing I've ever heard, but excellent.
This will end on July 13th. And at the end of it, you'll at least get a shirtless picture of me.
All right.
So enjoy that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're kind of fucking getting off track because
are we?
This is a real serious episode.
Oh, okay.
This episode, they got off track by talking about
really
Katy Perry.
They really get into Katy Perry.
Yeah, actually, they do. There's another.
That can't be real.
There's two more special reports later. One of them is from John Baum. And it's all about how Katy Perry is a Satanist.
Right. Witch.
Like, why are you going after her in two special reports?
Witch.
Well, they say that she's part of the Illuminati and they worship the devil.
Oh, okay.
And then they implicate...
Who doesn't worship the devil these days?
I don't know.
There's a lot of devil worshipers
Hillary,
out there.
Katy Perry.
Witch. Double witch.
They implicate The Rock also.
Well, he's obviously the warlock leader of our devil worshiping coven. That makes sense.
On Saturday Night Live in one of the sketches,
double toil, and can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Listen, are you into Satan? It doesn't matter if you're homosexual. he was on.
And I'm going to give you the Satan's elbow.
Yeah. Becomes the demonic elbow.
Yep.
When he was on Saturday Night Live, this last week, in one of the sketches, he said, "Hail Satan." And that's what they use as their evidence that, maybe The Rock is on their team too.
Sold.
Yep. Great. 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 Anyway, like I said.
Although it does make perfect sense that they get off on Katy Perry, because that's what the right wing news has been doing this entire week, of just like, and Kushner is clearly committed treason on every other network. And they're like, what is it with Katy Perry and Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande seems like a bitch.
Yeah, like, what is going on here? Guys.
But to be fair to Alex, at this point, on the 25th, when this episode came out, that specific news about Kushner trying to get the back channel shit going did not exist.
Not happened yet.
So he doesn't know that, but I think he knows it.
Okay.
Because there is a real sense of urgency in this episode, and a real sense of the sky is falling.
We got to get out in front of this.
We got to get out in front of something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has to do...
Dark clouds are arising on the horizon.
And the only man that can save them is our propagandist in chief, Jerome Corsi.
Oh, fucking Corsi.
Corsi. I've known Corsi.
Mom.
He's been coming on 14 years. He's got 3 number one New York Times best-selling political books. He's changed the course of at least one election. The guy does not make stuff up.
He does.
That's why he's so hated by the left. That's why the globalists want to try to keep him out of the White House press briefings, which they've been unsuccessful to do, because they don't want somebody that's been friends with Trump for 44 years and somebody who's had dinner with Trump many times, including last year, and who was at a dinner event with Mike Pence just last week. They don't want him being in the press gallery because he will ask real questions. And then all the other phony reporters that are in there, they will be shown up as the frauds they are. That's why they say he's fake news. That's why they say we're fake news. It's because they're the fake news. We're going to document that today.
They don't. But the thing that I was trying to get at there was that, you should not be in the press corps if you're personal friends with the president.
It's usually a bad idea. That. We should have like an adversarial press corps.
Yeah.
It seems like though the way that we would, you know, have the most success in holding our, institutionals, accountable.
As
opposed to just putting a bunch of Trump's buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex is like,
hey, they don't Trump!
They don't want him in there because, he's known him for 50 years.
Yeah. Hey, Trump! Breaking question from InfoWars. How do you feel about dogs? Do you like dogs?
Do you remember that time we hung out, 22 years ago when I was 50?
What? Hey, Trump, pressing question. You got that $20 I loaned you?
This is on the record. Would you like to come to my lake house again? Yeah, that's crazy. That's like, I mean, you're right. You do want an adversarial press. But I think maybe the ideal situation is a, like, respectful, friendly, jocular enemies. You know, like, I don't think it's good for people to be yelling at each other or things like that.
Okay.
But I do think that, you know, you can have, like, curses. You know, like, that sort of thing. Press, you got me again. Like, that sort of thing.
Your level of anger is a Dudley Do-Right cartoon.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, Roadrunner, okay. Wile E. Coyote shit.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
All right. I have a large question.
I'm going to have a medium answer.
So, we're all unhappy about Corsi being in the press briefing room.
Big time. But again, it's a weekly pass.
Now, I have a question, and that is, what is the bad thing that could happen there?
What do
you know what I'm saying? Like, I know he's there.
Yeah.
And my question is, so?
Well, here's one of the problems.
Yes.
He's going to use the credibility that comes along with being in the White House press corps in order to boost bullshit that he would have just made up with, earlier.
What credibility? What credibility could InfoWars suddenly receive by being in the White House press briefing? I think it's a disappointment.
Dude.
But I don't think it's like, I don't think he can do any damage.
You're looking at this wrong.
Okay.
You're looking at this wrong because you're using the real world.
Oh.
You need to look at this through the prism of people who are inclined to or already believe InfoWars might be real.
Okay.
those people, it's going to really reinforce a lot of the lies, and the fictitious narratives that they push, that he has that proximity to power. He has that proximity to the official shit. That is going to give him a lot of leeway. Nah, leeway is not the right word.
No.
It'll boost things for him.
Okay.
I think.
I don't know. I don't see anybody who is, well, one, I don't see a positive or negative out of the press briefings other than sometimes we get to laugh at how just wildly incompetent and impotent Sean Spicer is.
And how so close to attractive Sarah Huckabee Sanders is.
Oh, so close. Oh, if she were attractive, man, the fact that she's brilliant, that would really matter.
We're making fun of Alex not saying these things about her in case you didn't hear that episode.
Alex is a prick.
I agree with you. In terms of the press briefing stuff, it's not really that bad except for the possibility of disruption. But I mean, who cares even at that point?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that
that would actually just be kind of funny.
You know how when someone walks around with like fake medals and stuff like that, it's called.
Do you mean like
Sheriff Clark?
The Department of Homeland Security guy now?
Yeah, it's called stolen valor, and it's a really, really undignified and insulting thing to do because you're basically taking away from and minimizing what soldiers do.
Yeah,
I think that there is a journalistic version of that. There's a stolen. Journalism or whatever.
Sure.
That could be applied to Corsi because of his proximity to the actual press.
Okay, so your theory is that this is going to give him legitimacy in the eyes of the people who believed 3 million immigrants voted in the last election, but don't necessarily believe all of InfoWars. Now they're kind of, cause they're already out in that bullshit of like, why couldn't 3 million immigrants have voted? That
right.
kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets even that little bit more of a modicum of credibility, they're much more likely to take InfoWars seriously.
Or,
whereas before they weren't necessarily on board.
Let me even take it a step further. I do agree with that, but let me even say that there are people who just aren't really engaged with what InfoWars is. They aren't really aware of it as an institution.
Yeah.
So there, it's the normalization too that comes from it. There is like, oh, I mean, Jerome Corsi's, I mean, he's a real journalist. He's there. People who've never looked into things at all.
Right.
It gives automatic credibility to someone who absolutely doesn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, look, that conversation is good. I don't know. I think it's bad, but you're right. There are parts of it that are like, who cares?
Yeah.
My bigger thing is, it's going to wear off anyway. I mean, he's not going to be there forever.
Right.
But shit is getting real.
Yes.
You need to know that.
I do need to know that.
And here, this is the sort of thing that Jerome Corsi can pull when he has White House credentials. And it's pretty fucked up.
Okay.
But just to understand this. Corsi is very credible. And Corsi has proven he's credible.
Nope.
And I got off the phone with him this morning, and for the first time in 14, 15 years knowing him, he said, you can tell people if I get killed over the weekend that it was X, Y, and Z, and you're going to need
Not
to talk
ABC?
To this person.
What about 1, 2, 3?
Let's just say who's in the legislative branch. If I am killed, they have the data.
Somebody in the list.
And I will come on your broadcast Tuesday and I will break it all, but I've not been authorized to do so until Tuesday. And then he told me 4 bombshells, 2 of which I can begin to give you, the other 2 I can't. But for the first time knowing Corsi, 14 years, he's never been dramatic like this. He said, if they kill me, he said, listen, Alex, this is very dangerous. You need to be very careful as well. And then he filled me in on some of the stuff going on behind the scenes. There is a war in this country. This is not just an information war. It's already hot. And the Democrats and the globalists, they mean to totally take this country down.
That sort of thing would not fly nearly as well from a blogger, let's say.
Okay.
Someone who doesn't have supposed official access.
Right.
To government inner workings and stuff like that.
Now I see that much more clearly. Yeah, because based on that little thing
By the way, I'm gonna feel like a huge asshole if Jerome Corsi dies this weekend.
I am not. I'm gonna be like, Fuck yeah! Fuck Jerome Corsi. He's dead.
Well, definitely fuck him. But like, if by some weird coincidence he ends up dying, I will have egg on my face. For sure.
Okay.
But I think that this is absolutely part of his, we need to create a propaganda campaign.
Now, do you actually think Corsi said any of that bullshit?
Yeah.
Okay. I bet
him and Alex collaborated on a narrative.
On creating this narrative, not yes. like actually, he didn't actually say any of that bullshit.
Maybe
they
put together this idea. Maybe he did though, because as we're discovering.
Alex is very malleable himself. Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are very good at manipulating Alex to do what they want him to do to achieve their ends.
Right.
And it's entirely possible Corsi just realized, I'm gonna freak Alex out. Cause then he'll do exactly what I want him to do. It's possible.
Of course he is just fucking with him.
He's just-
God, I want to live in a better world where Corsi is just like, God, once a month, I'm just gonna make Alex feel like everything is fucking insane.
You know what I bet is even more likely? Jerome Corsi is like, fuck, I'm boring. I am so boring. Alex clearly likes Mike Cernovich so much more than me. Keeps talking about loving Rappaport.
I have to create a memo.
What am I gonna do? Okay, I'll pretend that I'm Deep Throat or some shit.
Yeah. So if he dies over the weekend, one.
Again, I'll feel like an asshole.
One, why would he be killed over the weekend?
Well, because he has clearance to release this information on Tuesday.
Well, if you're afraid of dying over the weekend, your move is to release it early.
You would think.
That's your move.
Yeah, but
why would you not release it early? Would they kill you?
Here's the big spoiler. None of this is real information.
Okay.
None of this is real.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Unless he dies over the weekend and we find out on Tuesday.
If he dies over the weekend, I got one suspect for you. And it's Rappaport hiding in the bushes.
We're going to release our own version of Clue that's just the InfoWars people. Yeah. Rappaport in the bushes with the Batarang.
No, he has psychotropic drugs.
Yeah.
Because he knows they're a weapon.
He actually convinces you to kill yourself.
Yeah. Paul Joseph Watson in London with Snark. That's who made me kill myself. With
transphobia.
Yeah. My position on it is this is a load of hooey. And what have you. And we'll see what the information is as the episode goes on.
Okay.
But I think this is a straight mem, on the part of Jerome Corsi. I predict strongly that come Tuesday, there will be nothing big. And I think that this is probably a PR stunt.
That's exactly what people said about December 12th, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they said.
Sold a lot of Mayan calendars.
And you know, that worked out.
Certainly did. World ended.
That's all I got. Maybe the world did end. Maybe that was just the beginning of the rise of fascism in our country. Did you consider that?
That argument could be made. We're certainly living in a much worse place five years later.
Climate change is coming ever closer.
Sure. When did Gamergate start? Is that on December 12th? Anyway, December 21st. This next clip, Alex does his first in a very long string that goes almost the entire episode of teasing what he's about to tell you about.
Yes.
He does not want to get to it.
You and Alex have so much in common broadcast-wise.
But
it's so frustrating for you to be like, all he does is tease people about what's coming in the future, and I'm sitting here staring at you like, fucking, tell me what's going on!
I'm not trying to tease anybody, though. It's just the structure of how these episodes have to be laid out.
Right,
like,
right.
We can't go back to the past today. You know, anyway. that might be a tease in and of itself. Anyway, here's Alex playing the game that he and I love to play.
So at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to get to that news. Because it's just...
Get to it now!
I had about a 20-minute conversation with him this morning driving into work. And then ever since I got here, I had trouble focusing on all the other news, even though it's very, very important. It's not. And extremely illustrative of what we're facing because of the intel he was breaking down. And then when I got here, Owen Schroyer had some similar info, but not directly from the source. Source is dealing with one of the very same topics.
So wait, where did he get it?
And I separately went and did my research and confirmed that this whole thing stinks to high heaven. But let's just say they got their ducks in a row before they killed Seth Rich. That's only part of it.
Oh, fuck you.
So I will get to all that at the bottom of the hour.
God damn it.
So that's a big part of what the news that Jerome Corsi is going to break
is. It's all about Seth Rich.
That's one of the big things that it's about.
God damn it.
And as Alex tells what the big news is, a lot of it is stuff that I know originated on 4chan posts.
Of course.
So it's a lot of stuff that is not really...
Not even close to true.
No. And a lot of it is actually fully discredited already.
Of course.
It's really undignified, and I think that this is a desperation move on Alex's part, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Okay.
Why he's so desperate.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually fairly interesting.
Okay.
What you have to do with Alex Jones is...
Will we get to it at the bottom of the hour?
We won't. Whenever the clip gets here is when it gets here. Biatch! Now listen, here's the thing. Whenever you're listening to Alex Jones, you kind of have to read between the lines a little bit. Like, the tone of this episode is, Jerome Corsi might die this weekend.
Of course.
We have big news. I'm going to get to some of it, but the rest of it I'm not cleared to give until, you know, Tuesday. And if Corsi dies, I know who did it. We all know, you know, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. It's very desperate. It's very immediate. It's very, oh, shit.
Okay.
And when you hear stuff like that, it's not because that's the truth. It's because something else is going on behind the scenes that is making Alex freak the fuck out.
Okay.
And I think I know what it is.
So if they're doing it for, like, this surprise reveal on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And he's building up this whole, like, oh, we got such big information, we can't release it. One, do you think Alex is going to kill Corsi?
That's why I said Rappaport might be in the bush.
Okay. We need to...
One Rappaport in the bush is worth two in the hand.
Guys, if Corsi dies over the weekend, we know Alex did it. That's the first thing we know.
Well...
And also, that just means he's setting it up for the counter-narrative for something that he does think is going to go down on Tuesday, right?
No.
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 Okay.
I don't
so
think
why
so.
Why are we playing this bullshit game of he's going to die over the weekend today?
Because it's severe. That's why. It's shocking. It's the sort of thing that Alex thinks is going to get a lot of attention and drive traffic.
Right.
And there's a reason he needs to do that, which is what I'm going to get to.
Okay.
Part of it, I'm going to get to it.
I think I might have sussed out what we're talking about here.
You probably know half of it.
Okay.
But there's another half that brings everything into
so
focus.
So you're saying I don't know the half of it.
You do know the half of it. So he does not get into the information that he has to give out at this point. He's just teased it. He lets you know that part of it has to do with Seth Rich. But before he gets to the information, he has to get on a fucking ridiculously long tangent of stringing along a bunch of nonsense. He's pretty mad still about the Ariana Grande concert.
Of course.
As we've already seen, he's really trying to take the piss out of Katy Perry. And here he, really just wants to complain about
old white men taking down young pop stars. It's a tale as old as time.
He wants to complain about some Muslims that were demonstrating in London. There have been some Muslims for peace marches. There have been some anti-Islamophobia, gatherings,
right.
Demonstrations.
People coming together filled with hope and healing in response to this negative, horrifying tragedy that happened to them.
Largely.
Of course he would be against that.
Well, what he decided to glom onto is that they found there's a video and there's a picture of a lady who's wearing a shirt that says love, and the letters of love are made up of weapons. So, like, the O is a grenade. It's a little bit weird.
That is a very ambiguous shirt.
It's very strange.
She should have... There should be, like, an explanation for that, for what that shirt is trying to say.
And maybe it's on the back.
Is it love guns? Is it guns are love? Is it...
If I'm looking at it, my artistic explanation...
The only thing I can love is guns?
Well, that's one way to look at it. My explanation would be it's a juxtaposition of these tools of killing, making up the word love. I think my interpretation would be it's supposed to shock you into realizing, these things aren't loving. That's okay. My feeling on it. I don't know.
Right.
I can't say.
So our next t-shirt is the faces of everybody at InfoWars organized into love.
No, spelling truth.
There we go.
But I don't want to defend this lady's shirt. I have no idea what the intention of it was. Like we said, there's interpretations you can make. But Alex is really mad about it.
But we have the video of Muslim women wearing shirts that have hand grenades on them and machine guns.
Oh, of course.
And saying, you better not be Islamic phobic or we're going to strike back. And yep. other Muslim men saying they're not ashamed. They're not going to apologize for what happened.
Because they didn't do it.
Extremely arrogant people. But when the left gets some crazy white guy, you know, that they can go after, and I agree they should go after him, like Dylan Roof, going into a black church and killing nine people. Every white person on earth is guilty for it. Every Christian is guilty. Every gun owner is guilty. But when people show up in Halloween costumes with hoods over their heads, with hand grenades and machine guns on their shirts, and start saying, you better watch what you say about Muslims or else, it's mind-blowing.
It is.
Does he think just regular, like, Muslim garb is Halloween costumes? Is that what he's thinking?
Yeah, that's how he's insulting other cultures. Yeah, that's absolutely
wonderful.
What he thinks.
Wonderful. I'm glad that we got there.
Now, here's what's fun. He brings up Dylan Roof. Tomorrow's episode of our show is going to go back to the exact day of the Charleston shooting, which was actually an accident that we ended up covering that. And you can see what Alex said on that day, tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. I wouldn't recommend he bring up Dylan Roof, because if you listen to his words, which...
They're not good.
Yeah. No, not good.
But the other thing is that even back then, no one was blaming all white people for the attack. No one was blaming gun owners for it. The arguments that people were having...
They were blaming guns and white supremacy.
Well, but even beyond that, they were saying that this is part of our culture, the part of the racism that underlies a lot of people. You know, it is systemic, and it is an issue. It's not all white people's fault, but white people are behooved to look at these things and these beliefs that sometimes we're unaware that we carry.
Right.
That was the conversation that happened. And with
that
guns,
implicitly support what he did.
Yeah.
We can explicitly say, oh, we condemn Dylan Roof and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're still part of the system that props this kind of thing up, still maintains an environment that not only like allows it, but in fact nurtures it.
Yeah.
That alt-right community, which Alex Jones is absolutely a part of, the Stormfront, the Nazi bullshit. Two people were fucking murdered.
Yep.
Their throat slashed by this alt-right bullshit fucker, this white supremacist who is just, like, it's stuff that they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff that they are making happen.
Yep.
They are absolutely part of the system that nurtures this ideology.
Uh-huh. And a big part of that is the mentality that he expressed in that last clip. When he's saying, like, these Muslim men won't apologize for the thing, like, you realize in next sentence, the exact next sentence, you're saying that you're mad that everyone
expects you to apologize for the same way you expect
for Charleston.
All Muslims. Yeah.
And at the same time, no one asked you to apologize for Charleston. They asked you to examine culture.
Yeah.
That's what they asked you to do. And you were so offended by the idea of having to be like, why do I have to be made feel bad? Why?
Why do they have to be made to feel bad?
Well, that's an interesting argument.
That is an interesting argument.
Alex is incapable of doing the one-to-one math. It's literally one divided by one. It's one times one. It's one plus one. It's the easiest math to do. And because they're brown, he is fucking unwilling to do it. And it's insanity.
We call it Fox News geometry.
Yeah.
One does not equal one.
One sometimes does not equal one when it's 0.9999 repeating. Hello, how are you doing? This next clip.
I think you're three-thirds wrong on that.
I don't know. Anyway, this next clip has more to do with Ariana Grande in specific, and then gets into the relationship between Islam and the globalists.
Even though a Muslim working with accomplices has now come out with a coordinated strike with a sophisticated weapon, despite all of that, despite the fact that that person would have killed her if he could have, she still won't criticize Orthodox Islam or suicide bombers, because that's not the end thing to do, because the left must prop up Islam and must say it's loving and peaceful and helpful and compatible because it's the shadow army for their takeover of the West.
Oh,
it's the incompatible cancer and the open free society by the so-called left that hates open free societies, that wants to ban free speech, that wants to ban conservatives and libertarians and nationalists off Google, off Twitter, off Facebook. They're authoritarians, and they see a friend in the enemy of their enemy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. They like the Arabic saying. They're dirtbags.
All right.
They're cowards.
All right.
They're cucks.
Cucks.
But maybe they really are the alphas, the alpha cancer, the alpha parasite, because we won't do anything about
them. What are you fucking talking about?
You just screamed over the most scary part. He said at the end,
we won't do anything about it.
We won't do anything about them.
Ah, we won't do anything about them. I thought
that
he said
phrasing is specifically like, what are you going to do about them?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Are you going to outlaw their free speech? The thing that you say people are trying to do to you, which I don't think anyone is. Or are you talking about killing them?
From start to finish, that whole thing is just bullshit. No, who is defending suicide bombers?
No one.
No one.
Well, maybe some people, but not the left.
I mean, you can empathize with a suicide bomber.
Sure, but that's
supporting them. I think
them.
That's very much something that we should do. If you want to know why people are suicide bombing, you should empathize with them and figure out, oh, wait, you're suicide bombing because you have no fucking hope. Because everybody is fucking being murdered.
And that's what brought you into this dangerous and destructive ideology.
Yeah.
And
you have this helplessness and you feel like you're marginalized and you feel like nobody cares about you. And so you find these extremist groups who support you and maybe your family isn't there for you. So you kind of project a family ideology onto these people and they utilize that to force you to do things that maybe otherwise you wouldn't do. I don't think anybody would ever relate that to any kind of white nationalist Christian
or even
InfoWars movement.
Even InfoWars, man.
Yeah.
I think that I just sort of had a flash of like, there's a decent chance that Alex can't wrestle with that empathy for people's situations that get them into extremism.
Because he's a psychopath?
Well,
or because
no,
he actually
because strategically it would be against his goals. Because he would have to then recognize that he does some of that himself.
Right.
Like, a lot of the people that follow him are the same sort of marginalized folk.
Right.
And all he does is fill their heads with lies and bullshit narratives that if they repeat to other people, disconnects them even further.
Right.
Because, like, if you and I were just casual friends, and I came up to you, and I started spouting InfoWars shit, we wouldn't be friends.
No.
That would make it very hard to connect with quote-unquote normal people.
Right.
As normal as you and I are. Which is not totally.
Well, but. I mean, yeah, by isolating people, you only bring them more into the fold as
right.
You're the only person that they can trust.
And you make these sweeping pronouncements on your show about how we're the smart people, everyone else is dumb.
Right.
It's maybe he doesn't use family so much, but he does talk about how important family is. He still reinforces a lot of that.
Like Toretto from The Fast and the Furious.
Not quite as much, but
not
yes.
quite as much.
He's Diesel-y. I think he would have to wrestle with the fact that he does that too.
And then of course it is absolutely perfect for him to set himself up as the good guy versus the evil guy.
Yeah.
So you want to inspire those kind of, us versus them mentalities, and they are a perfect boogeyman because they are your, Black Mirror.
So basically what I want to know is, do you think that Muslims are the shadow army for the globalists?
I don't know. Are they the shadow army for the globalists?
I'm going to go with a big no on that one.
You're going to go with a big no?
I'm going to go with that.
It would be a big army. There's like several billion Muslims in the planet.
Yeah, but we're going to learn that Muslims are killing millions of Muslims every year.
Is that a shadow army for the globalists?
I don't know, but it's also very unscientific statistic keeping. Anyway, Alex is going to get to this big news.
All right, I'll get to the big news that I've been mentioning in the next segment. Then I'm going to continue on with the incredible response by the Muslims everywhere celebrating the attack in Manchester.
I blew it. He didn't get to the big news. That was just another tease. Oh, shit. So again, he pretends that people are celebrating when a lot of the times they were peaceful demonstrations and
celebrating.
You can see pictures up of like Muslims for Peace, Muslims Love Manchester marches and stuff like that.
Right.
It's basically the exact opposite of what he's pitching.
Just the entire idea is so frustrating that once again, by their very reaction, they do feel a need to apologize for, basically their religion there.
Yeah.
What else could you possibly be responding to if you have to have a peace march? Well, like, you don't see after this fucker, yesterday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't see white people marching in Portland going like, hey, by the way, we're sorry.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, we still believe in love. We still believe in truth.
Yeah.
We're not your enemy.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. That's that white privilege that is part of the system.
Fake news.
Fair enough.
White privilege is fake news.
Fake news! I didn't commit that crime, so I'm not on the hook for it.
No.
Muslims committed that crime, so every Muslim is on the hook for it.
Because they're incompatible. But you know who is compatible? Apparently that neo-Nazi fuck who slashed two people's throats in Portland.
He's just fine.
He must be compatible.
God damn it.
Yeah, that guy. I looked into him a little bit.
Monster.
It's wild stuff.
Yeah.
Wild stuff.
Nazi.
People had posted a bunch of his, like, Facebook posts and, like, message board stuff, and he just seems to have no coherent philosophy other than, like, being really angry.
Yeah. He's a lunatic who got his chance to be a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, basically.
That's what it was.
Pictures of him, like, Zeke Heiling at a free speech rally recently. Yeah. It's, oh boy. We're in deep.
If he had been raised in Ireland, he would have been part of the IRA. Like, that is a guy who is a fucking insane person. He's a gun.
Yeah.
He's a gun waiting to be fired.
He's probably too crazy, really, to fit in with any of the militias and stuff here, even.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is saying something. Anyway, Alex has had a revelation.
Uh-huh.
He's had a big breakthrough that he wants to get to before he gets to the real news that may or may not be responsible for Jerome Corsi's death.
God damn it. We're really taking our time to get to the real news that may or may not be responsible for Jerome Corsi's death.
Absolutely. He's figured out what's going on with the Russia stuff.
Okay.
And he's going to lay it out for you.
I have a stack of news here, and I figured out what they're doing. They recycle stories every few weeks, thinking you have no memory. They put out the same fake story over and over again, breaking
That's
CNN.
That's what you do!
Exclusive.
That's exactly what you do.
The attorney general, when he was a senator, didn't pull out and didn't fill out all the forms about any foreign nationals he met with. And then at the bottom of the article, it says U.S. senators are exempt from that because they meet with foreign dignitaries as part of their job, and they're a separate branch of government from the executive. And then it gets into the whole issue of oversight. But the point is, I know when I see these headlines, it's a lie because I've already Groundhog Day been through them five or six times in the cycle.
So you're getting the premise there is that they're just re-releasing old stories.
Right.
And it feels like that if you only read headlines and don't know how to read because this story about Sessions that came out recently is different than the last time.
Right.
The last time we were talking about it, it's because he lied in open session in Congress about the meetings that he had with Kislyak, the Russian ambassador. This time, it's because he lied on his background check form about the meetings that he had. Now, it's interesting because Alex brings up that at the bottom of the article, it says that Sessions doesn't have to fill this out because he's a senator and blah, 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 blah.
So long as he's not part of the presidential transition team, he was,
not,
or acting as part of the campaign.
Right. That's exactly the thing. The attorney general's staff consulted with those familiar with the process, as well as the FBI investigator handling the background check, and was instructed not to list meetings with foreign dignitaries and their staff connected with his Senate activities. That's the piece of it that Alex is not taking into consideration. Exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Senate activities, cool. You don't have to disclose those meetings because they should be on your itinerary already, should be public.
Right.
That sort of thing. These meetings in question aren't related to Senate activities.
Mm-hmm.
They are related to Trump transition team stuff, Trump campaign stuff, and the fact that he left them off is a really big deal.
Yeah.
So then you get to like all the other stuff. It's like there have been like three or four cycles of Mike Flynn news, but they're all different. They're all new developments in the same building crisis. In the same way with Kushner. There has been like new revelations about Kushner, but they're very different stories.
Right.
And Alex just thinks, oh, what they do is they just take something and they're like, oh, let's wait a week and do it again.
Yeah.
He's so it's fucking dumb.
It's like a murder investigation where they're like, ugh, we found another suspect. God, boring.
Or
we found a suspect before this. It's over. Come on. We got one. Or, we got a little piece of evidence. No big deal.
I'm investigating you for a crime, right? And, or a murder. And it's like a week later, I find another body that you killed.
Move on. Same story.
Jordan, it's old news.
Same story.
Yeah.
God, why are you just redoing it?
Yeah. I think it was so indicative of Alex's inability to understand what's going on in the world. And man, I found a fucking clip about his, like, understanding of the Civil War that I think.
No.
I legitimately think that should be an entire episode.
I can't believe that his understanding of the Civil War is even related to either side's understanding. Like,
I think he thinks it was
a war over cotton candy. Like, I don't understand what he thinks is going on.
I've posted it up on knowledgefight.com.
Okay.
At a secret place that you probably can't find. But.
God damn it.
I'll give you the brief version. It was about tariffs.
Wait, does he think every U.S. war was about tariffs?
Probably.
Yeah.
So anyway, he has more to say.
Don't tread on tea.
He has more to say about this, the idea of the recurring cycle of lies.
Yes,
that the media does.
They think you have no memory. It's like, we have all the wiretaps, total proof Trump did this and that. Oh, really? Those are illegal. Who's the leaker? We never did that. There are no wiretaps. You're insane to say it. Here's hundreds of headlines. Here's hundreds of videos of you saying it. We never said it. You're insane. What, do you listen to Alex Jones? Mm-hmm. Listening to us means you have a memory. That's all it means. Or they go,
then why do you repeat
night,
things?
This
so
may
much?
Be it for Trump. The military's hopping mad. Doesn't say who, though.
Like, another if you secret have a source, memory, you should
he
know
gave
by
out
now,
the
Jerome
location
Corsi
of our submarines to North Korea. In a conversation to the president of the Philippines. And I went, wait a minute. That conversation happened a while back, and Trump was on the news about the Armada and the submarines, and the submarines docked in Seoul as a show of force, saying they would now be deployed in the South China Sea. Extra submarines. It was announced as a show of force by the Pentagon, by the president. It'd be like if Trump announced Christmas was coming 6 months before, and then Christmas came, and they went, he gave out the intel that Christmas was coming. I mean, it's that crazy. But see, the way the headline is, Trump gave away the secret, you know, nuke locations. He gave away where the submarines are. And as soon as I see it, I go, Trump was all over the news a month ago about the Armada and the two submarines, and they docked, and they were there, and he didn't give out the exact location. That's part of a show of force. And then I pulled up the articles from a month ago with exactly those words.
Nope. If you go back and look, actually, what was in the news on April 25th was about the ships, the aircraft carriers that were going.
The ones that were not going that direction, actually, at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. The ones they lied about.
Also, right around the same time, one submarine, the USS Michigan, docked in South Korea.
Right.
They got all this information from a BBC article from around that time.
Right.
The one docked. 4 days later, on April 29th, President Trump had a phone call with President Duterte from the Philippines. Duterte?
Yeah.
Man, I like
Duterte,
my,
I believe.
I like my version better. Duterte. Sounds good.
It sounds like Muerte. That's why you like it.
Well, he killed
because
people.
Because he's a murderer.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the murderiest murderer.
So President Muerte.
A really good way to describe him.
Yeah, that's his name from now on.
Yeah, President Muerte.
The two of them had a phone call.
Yes.
And the only reason we know everything that happened in that phone call is because just the other day, a Philippine confidential copy got leaked.
Of course.
And if you look at the transcript from the Filipino side, what you see is that Trump very strongly congratulates President Muerte's dealings with the drug crisis in the Philippines,
right.
Which, if you don't know, since last year, since June of last year,
what is it, close to
7,000 people have been extrajudicially killed.
Murdered.
Because of drug offenses.
Yeah.
The police claim it's
or
in self-defense.
Or not.
Right.
A lot of people who are killed It did not have anything to do with drugs. You don't kill 7,000 people and get them all right.
Right.
Especially if you're a vigilante crew, in which case I would say they've murdered more people for nothing than they have for drugs.
Also, recently, President Muerte called in a state of emergency in I can't remember the name of the region of the Philippines, but he enacted indefinite martial law.
Yep.
In a big region of the Philippines. So, I mean, like, that's who he's talking to.
And
he's
congratulating him. He was democratically elected.
In quotes. But he, Trump is congratulating him on how he's dealing with drugs, which is very bad. The way he's dealing with drugs is very bad. And then, in the same conversation, 4 days after the aircraft carriers were discussed in the news, and one submarine, very ceremoniously, and part of, like, yearly exercises, just formulaic, every year, routine exercises, docked in South Korea.
Right.
Trump said that there were two nuclear submarines off the coast of North Korea. That is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not that, like, he just said things that were in the news. Who cares?
Right.
4 days after all this stuff was publicly, some of the stuff was said in publications publicly, he's telling a murderous dictator in the region.
Yep.
That there are more submarines than are publicly known, and round about where they are. That's not a small deal.
I think he doesn't know that people on the other side are recording him too.
Right.
He has no idea. He doesn't get, like the Russian shit that is gonna hopefully get Kushner, executed? That's what we're hoping for. He's a traitor. I mean, he's a literal traitor at this point.
I don't see, that back channel stuff, I don't see any reason for that to exist other than to give confidential information.
Exactly. So you've got that.
He absolutely he absolutely broke the Logan Act.
Oh.
At best.
No question.
At best.
No question. He's a traitor.
Yeah.
So he just had no idea that the Russians would be like, we better keep these recordings.
Yeah, I mean,
he just didn't get that.
It's the same conversation that Sally Yates had.
Stupid.
It's the same thing that she said in front of the House Intelligence Committee about Flynn. It's like, if you have conversations like that with the Russians, they are going to record it, and they know that you've lied about them, and now they have leverage over you.
Yeah,
and then you pull into context the thing that John Brennan said in his testimony, that the road to treason is often undertaken unwittingly. People go down a road to treason and they don't realize that's where they're going. And by the time they wise up, it's either too late or there's blackmail or they're being threatened.
Right.
And it really looks like, I mean, Kushner's probably guilty of that.
He's absolutely guilty.
And the best thing we can say is it started off naively. That's the best possibility.
I think the best thing we can say is that it started off probably by greed.
No. I meant that's the best case scenario.
Oh, the best
we
case scenario. Yeah.
He was naive to what he was doing.
Yeah.
But I fucking don't believe that for
a second.
I can't
believe it.
No. But anyway.
He should be in jail now.
I think he will be.
Now.
No, he absolutely at least should have every access stricken. Like, it's unbelievable that he could still access documents
right now.
When you start to put it into perspective to all the stuff that's been going on, the leaking, the fact that those secure document rooms had things copied and taken out of them, I'm not saying that they're related, but when you look at all of these things that are going on, if any of them are related, we have one of the biggest issues in our government's history ever. It could be a situation where completely confidential information is being copied and taken and given to Russians.
Yeah.
And what would the reason for that be? It could only be to undermine our fucking country.
Money. I would say money.
No,
For Kushner and Trump?
I'm talking
money.
About the Russians.
For the Russians? Oh, let's fuck up NATO. Let's fuck up NATO and get so much money.
Sure.
It's money. It's money. Everybody wants money.
Well,
if you can blackmail the United States government, God, you can make so much money.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? How much money can you make if you can blackmail the fucking president?
And then you add into that Trump, his speech to NATO, you add in that he refused to necessarily support Article 5.
Yeah.
The commitment to everyone defending each other, which is the bedrock of NATO. You add into that him saying that he's not sure about Russian sanctions. He said he's thinking about them. The fact that he goes and he lectures these foreign leaders that they need to give more to NATO for defense.
Which not doesn't fucking make any sense at all.
It's not how it works.
It's not how it works.
At all.
Get all of our money back. What are you talking about?
To the point where foreign leaders were laughing at him while he was giving the speech.
Well, they've been doing that for a long
but
time.
As he's giving the speech, people like whispering to each other like, she is a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like shit like that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That part's embarrassing. All the other stuff really, like, I'm sick and tired of like extremism in the Russia front. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The people who are out there and they're like, and I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of falling into this and being fooled by it in the past.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. And I'm ashamed of it. But to an extent where everyone's like, he's a Russian agent. Everyone going really hard with that.
Right.
But the facts on the ground are too much. They're too much.
No,
to be coincidence. There's too much.
I don't understand how we're going to. I don't understand how this is going to go.
I don't
like,
either.
Like, our president should be put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So the only option, the only move for him then is, if I was strategizing how he's going to get through, how the Republican Party is going to get through this.
How they going to get out of this pickle.
Right. They impeach Trump.
Yeah.
And then Pence pardons Trump.
Yeah.
That's the way that they have to go.
And then they impeach Pence.
Well, I don't think
it's got to be like a waterfall. You know, it's got to be like you get impeached, next person in line pardons you until you get to, I don't know, the Secretary of Agriculture or whatever. I don't fucking know. I don't, nothing's good.
But I mean, if you get rid of Trump, you get him pardoned, right? So that gives you the, we gave you Trump as our scapegoat. We pardon Trump, which keeps the people on the alt-right, hopefully from burning down the country.
Yeah.
Because if you do what you need to do, if what should happen happens, which is Trump, Flynn, Kushner, Sessions, who else?
I don't know.
Carter Page, all of these guys wind up in prison for life.
Manafort.
Or dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's what should happen. If that happens, there will be an actual armed insurrection from the alt-right.
Most likely, because the alt-right places like InfoWars, like Mike Cernovich, these people have already built up a defense for that.
Yeah.
If that does happen, they already have a narrative in place
mm-hmm.
that is the globalists are trying to get Trump out. And when they do get Trump out, they'll try and hold the special election that's going to be overseen by national security.
Right.
And it's just going to be a fucking facade. And then they're going to start destroying everything like they planned to do when Hillary got in.
Yep.
So if even the first step of their made up plan that the globalists have happens to come to pass, they're going to see that as evidence of the third step is coming.
Right.
Fourth step is coming.
And then you start getting into. Who among our law enforcement services are part of that alt-right?
Certainly not the
So then you start getting into
Oath Keepers.
Who in the National Guard is part of that. And then you start seeing these guys actually get weapons and all of this shit together. Like, there's a real chance that if what should happen happens, there will be an out-and-out civil war.
It's almost like the best possible outcome is let Trump coast out his term, which is an awful outcome.
Yeah.
But lame duck the shit out of him.
Right.
Hope that Congress flips in 2018 so they can not let anything go through. Just let it turn into a contentious political battle between the two, because that would somehow contain a lot of the aggression.
Right.
Because then everyone would be arguing about the issues that are going on in the Senate and the fight between the House and the President. And shit like that, it wouldn't necessarily have to spill over into the streets.
Yeah.
Necessarily. And then in the meantime, in the background, have our intelligence service seriously be vetting literally everybody.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I mean, that's even a stupid fucking outcome. Because
nope.
If Trump is in on the stuff that Kushner is doing.
And if you start having them communicate about how the intelligence services are vetting people, again.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no good outcome.
There's this is going to explode. Like, this is a powder keg that is going to explode, and no one has any idea how it's going to go.
Nope. And it's scary. But
you
know what?
It's terrifying.
The good news is, Jordan, though.
What's the good news?
If you're scared, that's fine. And I want you to know that
I think sensible.
Alex is about to get to that big news.
And here's the big bombshell coming up after the break.
Somebody's at the door.
I'm going to leave until we come back from break. It's just knowing the stuff I know of these people makes me so disgusted by them. I'm not even angry at them, that it's almost paralyzing in shame that the American people are so weak. I love them.
Do
that they
you?
Let these pop singers tell them how much they hate them and how they hope they die and how they love Islam. I mean, Hollywood is saying, we hate you, we want your kids. They're saying, we're pedophiles, give in to us. And we just run up the white flag and say, Durka, Durka, Muhammad Jihad.
Oh, God, that's from Fuck you.
Yeah.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
Thanks for getting to that news, Alex. I love that. I love his games.
It makes me so disgusted. I'll tell you after the break. But for right now, I just want to let you know that Hollywood wants to take your kids.
They're pedophiles, Durka, Durka, Jihad. The thing about Ariana Grande saying that she hates her fans and stuff like that, that is true. She did say that. She had like a mental breakdown a while back.
Oh, way back when.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. But like,
a pop star had a mental breakdown in public?
I don't particularly.
Never seen that one before.
I don't particularly care to litigate the personal lives and sort of social disgraces and faux pas.
Don't care.
Of pop stars who have been famous since before they were really adults.
I don't care about pop stars, period.
No, but
I don't care what they think.
No, but as, individually, certainly, but on a grander scale, like, I can't imagine how much fucked up stuff I would have said if I was famous at 18 or whatever. Like, I said really fucked up stuff when I was 18.
Think about the stuff I've said now.
Right, right. But compared to who you
God,
were.
God, now I wish I was a pop star saying all the shit that I have said. But
imagine before your brain had fully formed. If you were in the public eye and people were, you know, demanding things of you and you had a rigorous schedule of performances and stuff like that, it would be incredibly difficult. And to take people to task for everything they say as celebrities when they, like, it's not really a fair system for anybody.
To pay attention to what they say as celebrities is dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Totally.
And if you are Alex Jones and you're like, oh man, I'm going to get to this huge important information, but first, Katy Perry said something that I don't like.
Yeah.
Then you're a fucking idiot.
It really takes away from your legitimacy. Yeah. It takes away from you being serious. But anyway, Alex goes to break.
If Teen Vogue spends less time on what Katy Perry says and more time on the downfall of American politics, maybe you're behind, Alex. Maybe you're the one who's not doing a good job.
You're just talking about Lauren Duca. You're not talking about the entire magazine, which I guarantee you haven't read.
No, of course not.
Because it's Teen Vogue.
It's Teen Vogue. I'm just making a very poignant observation.
But anyway, Alex went to break.
Yes, he did.
And he came back.
Did he bring back the new information with him?
Let's find out.
Has he spent all his time collating it?
Let's find out.
I'm going to be really honest with everybody. I'm so angry right now that I probably shouldn't even be on air. My medics have to take off tomorrow. Because you can overheat a race car engine and send it up to 15,000 RPMs and blow it.
Or do you feel the same?
But again, it's beyond anger. I'm struggling. I just can't believe how evil the globalists are, what liars they are. And because I have a memory, I see the lies. I see the flip-flops. I see the deception. I see the twisting, just like you do. And it only gets worse and worse and worse. In fact, you can ask Nico. Earlier he was saying, man, you did a lot of preparation over the weekend for this show. A lot of it last night, today. I've never seen you writing memos up about what you want to cover. And then now you're just all over the map because these people are evil and they know they're evil. That's what hit me over the weekend.
He's been
That's what hit him over the weekend?
He's been railing on the globalists for 20 years.
How is he still surprised? You know what? I just came to a revelation about the globalists. I've been doing this 20 years, and I swear to you, you can go back through my entire catalog, and I have never said this before. It is a brand new revelation. Never said this before in 20 years. They know they're evil.
I've always thought they were oblivious.
Yeah, I always thought they had no idea that they were worshiping Satan.
This eugenicist group.
Yeah.
Technocrats who want to destroy the world and exterminate everybody and escape on pods or go hide out in their armored redoubts.
They have no idea they're being evil. Yeah. God. Oh, Alex, that's a perfect revelation for him.
Yeah.
People have no memories, and I just had this revelation. the globalists are bad.
Well, but the thing is, I've started to realize when he talks about how people have no memory, what he's really saying is people don't see the world in this flawed prism the way I do. That's really what he's saying. He's not saying that he remembers things, because obviously he doesn't.
Oh, he does not.
He remembers his cues and his fake stories and stuff like that, the waypoints that we describe and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not talking about memory. He's talking about his flawed context is what he's talking about. And it's very interesting to me because to us, memory means, oh, I remember, X, Y, Z thing that happened or that
right.
I did. His is,
I remember in 2015 when I said this,
mm-hmm.
and I forgot to take that recording down. And so then I remember in 2017 when I said the complete opposite of that.
Right. There's that,
you know,
there's that version of it, or even just go back to that, the nuclear sub was in the news. I remember that. No, you remember your bizarre interpretation of things.
Right.
You don't remember. You have a flawed narrative that you remember and you're pissed that other people aren't in on it.
Okay.
He's mad that other people have memories of reality, not his universe.
Right.
And that's very fascinating to me. Very fascinating.
I think what I would see it as is when you say memory, I think he's talking about a RAM. I think that's really what he's dealing with.
It's like a computer.
He's working on a higher frequency. He's got more intelligence. He's got more of this. He's talking about memory, like I have more power.
Interesting. That's possible.
In the way that my brain processes. People don't have that memory. People don't have that ability. Now, do I think he knows what RAM is? Fuck no.
No. I think that's an interesting theory. I disagree. But that's interesting.
I think he should know the definition of the word before I can give him credit for meaning it that way.
We should call him up.
Yeah.
Ask him what he thinks memory is. Anyway, he's realized that the globalists are evil and they know they're evil.
He just got it.
And he's going to expound a little bit on that and then he's going to lie a bunch.
These people are evil and they know they're evil. That's what hit me over the weekend. Not just the controllers high up, but the actual newspaper reporters. The Democrats, the liberals, they know they're not liberals. They know they're authoritarians. They know they're liars, and they consciously want to learn how to be better liars. It's like the Gruber meetings on C-SPAN with the top faculty teaching them how to lie, and they were looking at him like he was God. About, I'm one of the best liars, and I was chosen to lie to everyone. Thank God the public's so dumb. He talks like a cartoon character.
So I've looked into this. I looked into the David Gruber stuff.
Yeah, that was confusing to me. Also, if you were using that voice, I would probably think you were lying to me.
Maybe.
I think you'd be a bad liar. If you were like talking like this, I'm the best liar.
No. Yeah, he has a little bit of a dishy voice, kind of, and Alex is mocking that. But
okay.
David Gruber is apparently an advisor who helped work on Obamacare.
Okay.
And he's made a couple of very unfortunate public statements that are easy to misinterpret.
Okay.
And Alex is. The problem is that he said that thankfully people are stupid. And that's the bad part of it.
He should not have said that.
That's
probably
the pull quote.
Despite the fact that that is exactly what Alex says all day, every day.
And that's why he is able to sell any products.
Yes.
But the thing is, the context of what he's talking about is that Obamacare would not be able to have been passed if they framed things as a tax. I don't know. It's not what Alex says, though. It's not like, hey, we fooled everyone. It's more like, thankfully, people just look for buzzwords whenever they're making decisions.
Right.
And because we were able to get tax out of there as a legitimate part of what the bill was, we were able to move forward with our agenda.
Right. Because if they had called it Obamacare tax.
Yeah.
Then everybody would have been like, nah, fuck you. We're America. No more taxes. Yada, yada, yada.
He had another video that came out where he was talking about how sometimes government can't work with full transparency. And it was again another unfortunate way of phrasing things. But what he was talking about again is the same thing. And it's just sort of, I mean, don't say that, man.
Yeah.
Don't say it like that.
Everybody kind of knows it, but don't say it. It's an unspoken thing that I think everybody in America kind of believes where it's like, or just from the polling. right? If you look at polls and how they do that research, the way you phrase a question greatly influences the way people respond to it.
Totally.
So that is basically what he's trying to say there is if we operate with full transparency and we answer every question, people are going to wind up seeing what they want to see in it and react accordingly.
That's a big
Whereas
part of what he's
what
saying.
What we try and do is put what's in what we think is important and what we think is the narrative out there that will allow us to operate in people's best interests, hopefully.
Yeah.
Like Obamacare, for all of its faults, is in people's best interests.
Totally.
And especially if you can compare it to what the GOP is doing right
Trump
now.
Care.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, that's what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
If you, however,
have a memory,
then you will look at that and think, oh, it's the deep state doing stuff.
Yeah.
It's the deep state taking away our freedoms and our free speech and supporting Muslims.
Yeah. So then he gets on to some other shit here.
And they've got all the faculty there and all these different C-SPAN meetings at universities. And you've got the
C-SPAN
graduate students that are listening to Christ at the Mount of Olives. Just, oh, teach us how to be corrupt and get jobs. And they all just study how to lie better. They're so turned over to evil. And now when they lost the election, it didn't make them go, oh, we've been defeated. We've been caught lying. We've been caught putting out fake polls. Let's back off. They went, no, we're going to lie 100 times worse. And that's what it is now. Is that you get some reporter, attacks a guy with his cell phone, grabs his arm in his office, jumps on his desk. The guy running for Congress that's about to win in Montana throws him off of him onto the ground.
What bullshit.
And then you are the guy that gets charged with a crime.
What a
it's upside
fucking
down world.
Load
what
of
they were doing
horseshit.
To Trump, having people try to assault him, try to assault his security folks, try to assault
Lewandowski. Fuck you.
And the assault would be a woman grabbing you by the arm, and then you pull your arm away, and then you assaulted her. They're a bunch of aggressive scum that see us as their food, that see us as their cattle. That's who the globalists are. And here's the memo I wrote.
About to get to that memo. But, so the thing with Corey Lewandowski, just because this will be quick, there's a video that you can watch of the assault that happened. And she, the lady who got assaulted, was walking next to Trump, and they were having a conversation. She was probably asking him some questions. And then from behind Trump, you can see Corey Lewandowski grab her and pull her.
Yep.
It is not that she put her arm on him and he pulled away. That is absolute horseshit.
There's video of it. There's
and
video evidence.
He's coming from behind and obviously grabbing her.
Yeah.
She's not even grabbing Trump or anything like that.
Nope.
It's just he pulled her. And I mean, like, it's not an assault in the same way that, like, kicking the shit out of somebody is an assault, but it's still real.
Yeah.
You can't do that to people.
No.
So now, on to the issue of the Montana situation.
Which is, that is, if a Fox News reporter says that
I'm going to read the statement from Fox News.
From Fox fucking News.
FoxNews.com. Faith, Keith, and I arrived early to set up for the interview in a room adjacent to another room where the volunteer barbecue was to take place. As the time for the interview neared, Gianfort came into the room. We exchanged pleasantries and made small talk about restaurants in Bozeman. During that conversation, another man, who we now know is Ben Jacobs of The Guardian, walked into the room with a voice recorder, put it up to Gianfort's face, and began asking if he had a response to the newly released Congressional Budget Office report on the American Health Care Act. Gianfort told him he would get to him later. Jacobs persisted with his question. Gianfort told him to talk to his press guy, Shane Scanlon. At that point, Gianfort grabbed Jacobs by the neck with both hands and slammed him into the ground behind him. Faith, Keith, and I watched in disbelief as Gianfort then began punching the reporter. As Gianfort moved on top of Jacobs, he began yelling something to the effect of, "I'm sick and tired of this." Jacobs scrambled to his knees and said something about his glasses being broken. He asked Faith, Keith, and myself for our names. In shock, we did not answer. Jacobs said that he wanted the police called and went to leave. Gianfort looked at the three of us and repeatedly apologized. At that point, I told him and Scanlon, who is now present, that we needed a moment. The men then left. To be clear, at no point did any of us who witnessed this assault see Jacobs show any form of physical aggression towards Gianfort, who left the area after giving statements to the local sheriff's deputy. So, that's what happened, based on Fox News, who witnessed the attack.
And they're still not going to believe it.
And there's
audio. They're still going to believe that Gian Fort acted in self-defense.
Yeah.
That's what these people are going to believe, despite the fact that their own fucking propaganda outlet is not going to put up with it.
There's audio of it that matches that description of the events, too. But these people are scum who see you as their cattle.
Yeah.
Such bullshit.
After they beat you up, that's whenever they're like, now is the time to... Fucking goddamn it.
It's so...
How is it that you can pull that off? I can't fathom that people haven't just got... Like, just the press. How do you not fucking pick that up? If you're part of the press, and it doesn't matter if you're the conservative alt-right press or whatever, you don't want this precedent being set.
No.
Because, again, you don't want to ban Muslims. Because eventually, you're not going to be in power.
Yeah.
And when you're not in power, maybe people will want to ban you.
Well, it's like...
How do you not fucking get that?
People don't understand, like, the idea of supervenience. Like, the idea that, like, what supervenes on these attacks against journalists? It's that they're journalists who are being attacked.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's behind it. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're liberal reporters that are being attacked. It has to do with it is now okay to beat up journalists.
Yeah.
And that hurts all journalists.
Yeah.
In the same way that the Muslim ban is like, it's not about the Muslim part of it, although it is. It's that a religion is being banned.
Exactly.
A religion is being targeted.
Yeah.
And that is a really, really dangerous precedent because it doesn't just apply to one situation.
We would have the same exact response if it was all Buddhists.
Or Sikhs.
Yeah. It's the same fucking shit.
Or even super conservative Christians.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be okay.
No, we would be against that.
In the same way that we made clear on like the third episode, maybe even the first episode of the show, that if Alex Jones ever really was being victimized for free speech issues, we would be forced to defend him.
Yeah.
And I would. I 100% would. If he was being oppressed based on free speech stuff, and in the same way-
If he was ever being oppressed based on free speech stuff, which to this day, he has not yet.
No.
He has been oppressed because he's a fucking- he's committed crimes.
Wow. It's not oppression at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that, like, I mean, we do this show. We've never called for him to be taken off the air. We've never called for him to be, like, punished, really.
Well, he's a fucking idiot. I've said he should be sued.
And he was. And maybe hit by a car. He might have said that.
I believe it was a truck. Excuse me, it was a truck, sir.
I'm sorry. In honor of me, a car could
potentially leave him, in stable condition.
In honor of me, making that big mistake. Right there with the truck car situation.
Yes.
I'm going to just say, fuck it. Let's let Alex get to the big news.
Okay.
And here's the memo I wrote. Then I got that call from Corsi. And that's got me so angry I can hardly talk. By the way, I'm not waiting to tell you this just to keep you listening. I'm so angry about all this stuff that I can hardly do my show anymore.
Why would you even say that if that wasn't what you were doing?
Because he knows that's what he's doing.
Why would you even say that?
Because he knows.
There's no reason to say that unless that's exactly what you're doing.
He did this exact same thing like a week ago when he was like, I've got bombshell news. And he just kept teasing it throughout the entire show. Never said what the news was, but did the exact same game where he's like, this stuff is massive. I've got to take a second to really get it clear.
Yep.
And he waited until Mike Cernovich came on. Mike Cernovich gave some piece of false big news. And Alex is like, that's what my sources say too.
Right.
That's a fucking stupid game. But he said in that same episode, I'm not just saying this to keep you here.
Yeah. That's obviously what you're doing.
Yeah.
Why would you say it?
He's such an idiot. But it works. It works with stupid people. So, I guess we're not getting to the big news yet. Oh well. Are we even going to get to the memo? I don't know. He just jostled it.
I know he has it.
Yeah,
because he's jostled papers.
He did some Foley work.
Yeah.
So he doesn't. But he wants you to know that he's in danger.
And I'm angry. I've got to know stuff like this and put myself in danger.
I'm angry. I have to.
I'm kind of sick of being good. And it's not like I want to go join either. I want away from all these people.
Oh, God damn you.
I'm going to read this memo when I come back. This is a memo to myself.
You fucking piece of shit.
But let me just stop, because I got to do this or we won't be here. I want to thank you all for your support with the Memorial Day special that's running through next Tuesday.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
I'm in personal danger.
That is... That's so good. I still didn't expect it to turn into a sales pitch. I know that's what it always turns into.
Uh-huh.
And this time I'm like, no, he's going to read the memo. And nope. Then bam.
So actually that clip is titled Alex is in danger, ... of doing a plug. But like I love now at this point in the show, we're spinning plates. Because now we've got the memo that's coming, and we've got the big news.
Right.
And so, like, if it was just the big news he was putting off, that would be one thing. That's not that impressive.
No.
But now he's got two things he's got to not do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is art.
He can bounce back and forth between those.
I don't remember exactly what this next clip
is. I'm about to get to this memo, but I got to get to the big news first. And I'm going to get to the big news, but it's going to be after this break. Before we do that,
we have
guys, I just want to let you know that the only way I can thank you is by you buying stuff.
Yeah, with my great iodine that no one needs. I don't remember what this next clip is, but it's got to be good because it's titled Alex is Freaked Out in all caps.
Okay,
so
all right.
This has got to be good stuff.
Were there Muslim girls in a pool shop
You're
again?
Listening to Alex Jones.
You know, I'm pretty freaked out right now, and Nico's been here like 5 years, 4 years. He's never come in and said, "Man, are you all right?" And no, I'm not all right. I mean, look at all the proof of how evil the globalists are. They're a bunch of child molesters. They're a bunch of devil worshippers. They're allied with the most radical form of Islam.
And I'm broke.
Millions of innocent
Muslims
every year.
I don't have any money. My kids are gone. They're gone.
There's 1.5 billion Muslims.
Somebody else is going to sue me.
They are crazy. It'd be like if Hitler won World War II or something. I mean, it's a whacked out group of people.
Whacked out.
Why would it be like if Hitler won World War II?
Because the Muslims kill millions of their own each year. That's what he's saying.
Okay. All right.
But you're just going to accept
Alex.
That?
What are you going to say to that?
I'm too weak
to fight. What are you going to say to that? Just like, hey, can we get a number on that? Just a number. Just millions every year?
No. Why be specific? I mean, you're not a journalist or anything.
Just like mathematically, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
To the point where if you believe, well, just like mathematically, it makes no sense if 3 million illegal immigrants voted.
Right, right.
It's just not possible.
No, but if you're talking about like, collateral damages of wars and stuff that, you know, we're facilitating and stuff like that, I bet there are millions of Muslims who die every year.
No!
Of natural causes.
Oh.
If you include that in there too, if you
God damn it,
all damn. The people who die who
all
are Muslim,
the people period who die,
yeah, then you got it.
And then you just throw in some more people who die. They were probably secret Muslims, so that counts too.
We do know that secret Muslims exist.
Secret Muslims.
I don't know. Look, I don't want to fact check that because I'm too fucking tired of his shit.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No, here's the deal. Alex wants to, take a break from a lot of this stuff. Doesn't want to get to the big news yet.
How many hours are we into this without any of the big news?
Oh, man, it's most of the show. he does have some thoughts about gender. He has some thoughts about how this is some toxic masculine shit. And it's I really think Alex thinks that this is intelligent. I think he thinks it borders on scholarly. It's fascinating.
All right.
And then I have weirdo leftist feminist lecturing me how I'm a male chauvinist pig.
That's how it works.
Because I need to be less aggressive and need to sit down and shut up. No, men are supposed to stand up against corrupt men, and that's what I'm going to do. There's always been good men and bad men. And the reason we're in this position now is because good men have sat there on their fat asses, and instead, I love how the laziest guys around will strut around like they're tough all day long. And pose. See guys walk into stores or whatever, look around, everybody's looking at them, trying to act tough. That guy will roll over in a second till a cop gets in his face. Or that guy smarts off you in a parking lot, you tell him cash that check, they'll piss their pants.
I couldn't tell, and I'm still not sure if he said cop or cock.
I think he said cop.
Yeah,
I'm going to give him cop.
I think so, too.
I'm going to give him cop.
The first few times I heard it, I was certain it was cop. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Who doesn't roll over when they got a cock in their face? That's what Jesus was talking about. Turn the other cheek.
Yeah, anyway, and he uses this like, you take them outside, tell them to cash that check, they're pussies. That sort of thing.
What? I don't understand what that means, though.
It's fill your hand.
cash that check?
Your mouth's writing checks your body can't cash.
Okay. I gotcha.
Why doesn't he use fill your hand? He's already established that as a great term.
Yeah, I'm on board with fill your hand. That one to me sounded more like he was being robbed, right? I was like, cash take him out check. There, cash that check.
Nah, I get it. I get what he's saying. But anyway.
All right. Also,
because they're not real men, and I'm sick of men not being men, and I'm tired of it. Of course, when men don't act like men, women come in and fill the vacuum and then placate and lower the drawbridge to the threatening group they see across the river. When women don't have men around, they will roll over to an outside invading force as a Stockholm syndrome survival mechanism on average. So there are no men.
Yeah.
That's exactly the chauvinism. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
That's why
I have feminists telling me to stop being chauvinist, and I'm going to be chauvinist at them.
I'm going to be aggressively chauvinist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Women roll over when, you stop right there.
No, because
you already did the chauvinism thing.
He's two steps in already, because the first step is men stop being men, right? That's step one.
Yeah.
Step two is because men aren't being men, women will step up. And be the man of society.
Right.
But
women can't
be men. They're faking it.
Jesus Christ.
So when outside invading forces come in who are real men, women will revert to their feminine weakness and roll over for these real men that come in because Western men are too busy being cucks or whatever. This narrative is, first of all, it doesn't take into account all the matrilineal societies that have existed over time. Doesn't take into account, there's tons.
Anything.
Of them.
It doesn't take into account anything other than his idea of what a man should be. Mm-hmm. No.
It's not even that.
His idea of what he is and how all men should be him.
There's that, but I think the driving force is he does not want to get to the news. I think even, I love the term you dropped on a recent episode, weak tea. I think he knows that this news is weak tea.
Yeah.
He knows that everyone's going to be like, we've already said this shit. Stuff like that. It's going to be like, this isn't really that big bombshell, but he has to build it up to scare people and to sort of solidify his base because of what I'm going to explain in a minute. But before we get to that
gender definition of what a man is so damaging to just like
to everyone.
That is such a huge part of why humanity's a pile of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that
it's one of the big things that drives people towards these radicalizing communities online, men, especially
I'm
young
a real
white
man.
Men.
I'm a real man. Yep. It's dudes between the age of 14 and 21 are the most dangerous and destructive force humanity has ever seen.
Undoubtedly.
They are the cause of so much shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex is that type of.
He's still that age, but he's 43.
He's that type of like. What would I even call it? Like, he's this town drunk. That's to me what he is. He's the town drunk who you go to at a bar and you're underage and you go there and the town drunk starts dropping wisdom on
you. Sure. And it's all wrong.
Like, yeah, it's all wrong. And you're like, whoa, he knows what he's talking about.
Did you know this town was founded by gypsies?
Yeah.
That sort of shit.
I don't like you using that word.
But then,
I prefer Romany.
Alex Wood as a town drunk.
That's true.
As in character.
That's true.
But then here's the twist of him being the town drunk telling you all this lies. After like maybe 5 minutes, he pulls open his coat and he's got pills. He's got weird fake pills in his coat.
Hey, you guys want to buy some coke?
Look, the only thing that keeps this show afloat.
Yeah.
These gypsies that founded this town are trying to suppress me. It really comes down to money. I really need your help. So anyway, look, Alex is going to get to the big news. So let's just do it.
Here's the memos I've written. When I get back, I will get into the big news.
No, they're real because you heard him.
That was a short clip. He just said,
when he gets back, he'll get to the big news.
Yeah, when he gets back.
When he gets back.
Still not getting
he's
to the
He's got
big
the memos. Hasn't gotten into those yet.
Still not getting
When he gets back, he's going to get into the big news.
And as I've said, there's two plates he's spinning, and it's getting to the point where he can't keep them both up.
So he's got to drop one or the other.
So he decides it's time to break down the memos.
Here's the memos I've written. When I get back, I will get into the big news. Imagine if a right-winger had done a terror attack in Manchester, how big the news story would be right now. Let that sink in. Again, Dylan Roof kills 9 innocent people. It's the end of the world. Every gun over, every Christian, every conservative is responsible 6 months of bitching and whining and moaning and screaming and flipping out like it was the end of the world. Pull down every Southern statue. Blah, blah, blah. That one man was guilty. His ideology is very rare in this country.
Bullshit!
But not Islam.
Fuck
Are there a billion and a half Dylan Roofs out there? No. There's very few of them.
So just for fun, I went to Stormfront today, and I checked out their message board, and at noon there were 1,871 active users online at noon.
Mm-hmm.
There are 324,314 registered members of the Stormfront racist white nationalist
There's
message
300,000 of them?
And that's just people who have registered. A lot of people,
fuck me.
A lot of people who buy into that ideology wouldn't register because they know, like, now I'm on
now
a list.
Now you're being on a list, yeah.
So there's probably at least double that who frequent the site. So, I mean, sure, there aren't a billion and a half Dylan Roofs, but there aren't a billion and a half radical Muslims either. Dumbass. Like, 600,000 is a very conservative estimate for people who buy into basically what is neo-Nazi ideology today.
Yeah. Yep.
In our country.
Yep.
That's way too many. That's a huge subsection.
We have literally an army of Nazis.
Yeah.
In the United States.
Underneath the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's not deal with that.
Unfucking believable.
Let's not deal with that.
Jesus
Christ. Let's just ignore that. Let's also ignore that multiple stabbing in Portland that happened because a guy defended some women against racist yelling.
Yeah.
Let's just ignore that. And you know what? If it was a right winger who did it, it would be a big story. But it's still a big story. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to say that, like, no one's covering it or they aren't saying it was a Muslim who did it. And that's not true.
Not even close.
His version of reality is that no one's talking about that. And people are talking about that. Everybody has brought that up. They're just not focusing it on it on the way he wants them to.
Yeah.
He wants them to focus in on, like, the fact that...
It's the religion.
Yeah.
It's not... He wants them to say, it is not the guy, it is the religion that killed all these people.
He wants everything like this to be the last straw.
Right.
That finally everyone wakes up and realizes, ah, shit, it was Muslims all along.
Right.
And that's not real. That's not true to reality. And no, we're not going to do that. No one's going to do that. Except for those 300,000 registered users of Stormfront.
Yep. They're definitely going
to
do that.
Also, when I went to Stormfront, accidentally, I started looking around.
Yeah.
And there's a whole,
you are definitely on a list now.
There's a whole dating section. It's really funny.
Oh my God.
It's like, what does a white nationalist lady want in a man?
Wait, is it like a dating advice section?
Yeah, it's a message.
It's not like a dating website. Like,
no,
find the Nazi for you.
No. It's a message board.
NaziesOnly.com.
People can, like, post whatever discussion topics they want. And the only one I read was, what does a white nationalist lady want? And it's hilarious.
That is a good question.
It's hilarious.
What does a white nationalist lady want?
Well, this guy comes in and he has all this, like, you know what? I try and build up my morals to the point where I think that I am far more moral and upright than anybody in this, even in the South, even in my, even in my conservative community, I'm still above them. But I realize that women want the guy who's hard.
And he's, oh, it's always get back. It always gets back to that.
Yeah, and so he's like, "I'm going to work on building up my hardness, or whatever." And then women, supposed women, who knows, chime in about like what they're looking for. And then a bunch of dudes pile on. It's like, "Hey, it sounds like you're trying to mold yourself into what women want, and no woman likes that."
It was
hilarious.
It's a bunch of dudes speculating on the like what. So many of them seem to have that idea of like, there's a secret key.
Mm-hmm.
If I am in a situation where all the men around me are reinforcing my same shared belief.
Yeah.
Then of course you would think all the women out there are doing exactly the same thing. So you think in your small Stormfront community that it's all men.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's all men.
Everyone else is dumb.
Everybody else is, yeah. Who they're not even your competition.
No.
You don't need to go, you know.
You're more moral than them.
Yeah, exactly. You're the better man.
Yeah,
right?
and you can see through the race mixing lies that society gives us.
Yeah, exactly.
So, of course, you're above everybody.
So then you have to assume that there is that equal and opposite to your little group there, and you're trying to figure out that. And you can't for a second imagine that women have agency.
Well, you know,
like to them, it seems like what I hear whenever I hear that is women are puzzle boxes. Mm-hmm. Women are robots.
Right.
You have to press the right buttons for every single woman, mm-hmm. and it works every single time.
There's a magic key.
Yeah. There's no concept that women have their own agency and are their own people
and have individual likes and dislikes.
And part of that is that, yes, there are white nationalist women, and they will fuck you.
Yeah, you just got to be white nationalist
exactly.
enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here's how you find what does a white nationalist woman want? Probably you.
Yeah.
Another white nationalist.
You know what's
because it's not she's not getting it anywhere else.
You know what's really fucked up too is
well, actually, let me change that. You know what white nationalist women want? Black dudes.
Jesus. You're buying into the whole narrative now. I know you're fucking rad. But like, you know what's really fucked up is that like, Alex always talks about like, get a Trump Pence 2020 shirt, get a MAGA hat or whatever, these sorts of things, and you'll meet like-minded people. And he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
That is how you meet if you're a weirdo. Get InfoWars shirts and you wear it out in public. A lot of people are going to ignore you. A lot of people are going to laugh at you. But then there's a small group who are going to respond, like sees like, and then you will find like-minded people.
So you just found Alex's way better sales pitch for that. Buy a Trump Pence 2020 shirt, and you'll get laid.
You'll get laid from a weirdo.
Yeah.
You'll get laid by someone who just as weird as you.
Fuck a lunatic, buy a shirt.
Yeah.
But imagine, oh, it's not Islam. Oh, no, no. It's the hate of Islam that caused this to happen. Yes, it's the right wing's fault, CNN said. We played the clip yesterday. False flag, ladies and gentlemen. Was this a false flag? A real terrorist hit, but they brought in the individual that engaged in this. So in a way, it is a globalist false flag to use these terror attacks to take our liberties. And more straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones.
That he does not understand.
Isn't it amazing that
at
it,
all?
I just love that going out to break. I'm Alex Jones. Big doesn't say anything, and then just rubbles papers. Couldn't figure out what big.
Big. Tom Hanks. No. God damn it.
Also, this memo he's been teasing and playing with on the mic for this entire episode had two things on it. One of them was, what if a right winger did it? And then, is this a false flag? I don't believe for a second you couldn't remember those two things, Alex. Those are your go-tos. And then on top of that, he's like, he says that Nico, one of the assistants there, one of the functionaries at InfoWars.
Actually,
like,
Nico Case, weird thing for her to do, but she's been there for 5-10 years.
Nico has said, hey, you've been preparing all weekend. That's your memo? That's the insight you're bringing? That's nuts.
I think Nico's pretty disappointed to be on.
I think Nico might not have said that. Also, it could be Nico from the Velvet Underground and Nico.
Oh,
true. I think she's dead. So that's that would
possible.
Explain why, you know.
Right.
Alex is just misquoting.
The thing that I think he really does believe is So the argument for it is the right wing's fault. Terrorism is the right wing's fault. That's the way it is.
Mm.
Because of the way that they're inflaming it. The more you fucking murder, the more you fucking murder large groups of people, the more likely you are to create terrorists.
And that's Democrats' fault too when they've been in power.
No,
it's
absolutely.
It's not to say that it's just the right wing's fault.
No, but, I mean, it's the American government's fault.
Totally. But the part
fanning those flames of Muslim hating, of doing all of this stuff, is only going to create the equal and opposite reaction on the other side.
Especially.
It is not to him when he hears it's the right's fault, he thinks that they're saying it's the right doing it.
Right.
That it's the false flag. That's what he thinks they're saying, is he thinks that it's actually right-wing people who are committing, or he thinks they're saying that they think right-wing people are committing terrorism as a false flag.
It's possible that he's saying that.
That's what he's saying. I think that's exactly what he thinks.
I gotta say, it's possible. I don't know, because he's weird.
Why else would he say false flag, though?
Because he always says false flag.
I know he always says false flag, but that's why he believes that. Because he can't imagine the idea of something being a structural cause.
No, I don't.
As opposed to being a literal cause.
He doesn't understand complex systems and stuff like that.
Right.
But like, I think when he's saying false flag, he means, not that the right is involved necessarily, but it's the globalists who have done this. They've goaded this person into doing it, or it's a patsy or something like that, in order to try and spark, race war. I don't know. But that's what he means by false flag.
Helter skelter.
Right. But again, it's like, dude, that was the memo?
Get to the goddamn big news!
I got bad news for you. He's not going to.
He's not?
Not yet.
But he's got big news!
He does. But first, he has to explain that Jerome Corsi has set up a dead man's drop. In case, like, if you're out there and you're listening to InfoWars on Thursday and you think that you're going to stop this information getting out by killing Corsi, you're fucking wrong. And Alex is going to explain.
Wait, like an 80s spy movie?
More or less.
Okay.
Now, our D.C. bureau chief, with offices and crew that he's hiring, with White House press passes, contacted me this morning as he was going into a very important meeting to say that if he gets killed anytime before next Tuesday, when he has been authorized to release information on this broadcast, then I am to contact a certain U.S. representative in the Capitol, and I'll leave it there.
Which one?
He's going to leave it there.
Okay. I do like he's finally swinging his dick around on Corsi's White House press credentials.
Like we told him to.
Like last time whenever he was defensive. Yeah, he's finally like, hey, this guy with White House press credentials, you know my man. You know my man with the White House press credentials.
He's hiring people.
Yeah. We got that swinging dick around.
So, Alex knows the senator or congressperson, whatever.
Let's put him in the House.
They'll leave it at that.
Let's put him, and it's all so a him.
Alex is going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
So, in case Corsi dies, we got this guy to contact.
Right. Why haven't you Why wouldn't you have contacted him already?
I feel like that
theorize with me here for just a second.
Okay.
What could possibly satisfy all of the needs of this story? Right?
So a lie. Propaganda.
No. It's gotta be, like, if this is, entertain this may be real.
Okay.
Okay.
Because if it's not, everything is satisfied.
Nothing. Yeah, of course.
All of the requirements are satisfied if this is bullshit.
Yeah, which it is.
Yeah.
But let's say it's not.
Okay.
Let's theorize here.
Mm-hmm.
What satisfies all the requirements of this story, okay? You can't wait for this information to drop till Tuesday.
Right.
Figure out anything that would actually be, that would make sense for that.
Okay, no. I've come up with a scenario.
Okay, here we go.
This person in the House is going to flee the country on Monday.
Oh, there we go.
But his plane tickets are non-refundable. So he can't move them up and get out of the country before then. But once he's out of the country, of course, he is free to speak freely.
Right.
He's going underground, baby.
So then if Corsi gets murdered,
uh-huh,
that's when you contact him and he moves his flight up.
No. Of course he gets killed. You don't call that guy at all. That guy's not answering your phone. That's going to give you a lead on who his source was. That's going to out the fucking congressperson.
But I thought that's what you were, that's what he was saying,
no,
right?
No, I'm being the external person being like, hey, congressperson, don't give Alex a fucking phone number.
He doesn't have a choice. It's in Corsi's dead drop.
But then also let's fucking take a look at this. If all this is true, Corsi has given up his source to Alex.
Right.
Which I don't know if,
that's a bad idea. As Donald Trump's sons know, it's a bad idea to give up your source to Alex.
Yeah, he's going to have to apologize about it later.
Yeah.
Look, dude, I don't know. It's really hard to get myself in this headspace because I know it's all full of shit.
Right. And so then why do you kill Corsi, though?
You don't.
What information could Corsi possibly have?
I know
that requires his death.
Well, I know what the narrative is going to be, so I don't want to speculate. But I'd love to see what you think. What do you think was worth killing Corsi over?
Okay,
besides a sandwich.
Okay, so Corsi has information from the member of the House.
Yes.
Right?
High-level stuff.
High-level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's killing him?
The people who the information is about, I assume?
Right, right. So that has to be the globalists. We can sweep aside, you know, call it Hillary or a witch. Doesn't matter, globalists.
I don't want to put this too succinctly, but duh.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm still half and half. Like, I'm in the conspiracy theorist world, uh-huh. And at the same time, I'm like, well, we should find a reasonable antagonist here.
Of course it's the globalists. This is
all
about
right.
the globalists.
So this is information that can take the globalists down.
Totally.
Right.
It'll expose their plots.
Yeah, they have to get rid of Corsi,
yes.
Because this could destroy them all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So what is it?
And why wait till Tuesday?
Again, the flight.
Move your flight up, dude.
It was good pricing for Memorial Day.
Oh, man.
You know, it was a Memorial Day sale.
Get on that travel zoo. That's what you got to do. He got a Groupon rate. That's really what happened there.
There's more discussion of the dead drop here, okay. though.
These are real conversations. I'm in a real spy movie here. So are you. This country is in a civil war and in deep crisis. And it upsets me with the American people, with all you've seen come out and all the criminality of the Democrats, to not understand how much trouble we're in and how serious this is.
It's very serious.
It is serious.
That's why we're laughing our asses off. So I know I've been fucking pranking you a little bit and saying we're about to get to the big news, and then Alex.
Yeah, I know. You're just as bad as Alex on this.
Well,
right now.
Here's we're actually going to get to the news.
Okay.
The first piece of the big news is this next clip.
Okay.
And then spoiler alert.
What's the spoiler?
The next clip after this is what I've been teasing this entire episode, which is what I think this is all about.
Okay.
So the next two clips, I mean,
it all becomes clear.
This isn't the end of the episode, but I think we can figure out what's real and what's not.
Okay.
In the next two clips. Here's the first one. This is Alex.
I swear to God, if this doesn't have anything to do with the big news, I quit.
You're going to be working here a long time, my friend, because okay. This is the real news.
The Democrats wanted other Democrats and others to know that Seth Rich had been executed. The news wanted it to come out that none of his stuff was stolen. You know, the D.C. police was appointed by Obama. They let the anarchist and Antifa and communist and Black Lives Matter beat up tens of thousands of people, including children and women, trying to go in to the convention or trying to go into the inauguration. So the sky's the limit with these people. And he's got major confirmed intel on Seth Rich.
He doesn't.
Oh, so that's the info that Corsi has.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmed info on who murdered Seth Rich.
Yep. A lot of this comes from 4chan posts, I'm sure.
Of course.
They have a bunch of people who have figured out all of these weird connections, and none of it's really based on anything or real. But I've seen a bunch of posts on like conspiracy blogs and stuff like, we've solved it. This is what people need to look into. And I don't even want to get into the specifics because it's so convoluted and I don't fully understand.
Yeah, what I understand is hopefully Hannity gets taken off the air.
Well, that's what our next clip is going to get into.
Oh, yeah.
But just to be clear, like, there's a bunch of new stuff that's been flying around about the Seth Rich situation.
God damn.
And I would like everyone to, really look at what people are saying. I'm not saying that if you believe that conspiracy, you belong in hell, like some folks have said. I'm not going to go that far. But when you hear something like...
You belong hell adjacent.
You belong in an apartment on the outskirts of hell. I think that it's really important whenever you're looking at a piece of news or some conspiracy theory, propaganda, nonsense that comes flying in your face, really take a look
at... Louise Mensch.
Sure. Really take a look at what's being said and analyze it. The things that keep popping up now, the new version of it, and I think Alex is going to get to it eventually, and I'm sure this is part of what Corsi is going to go over, is that Donna Brazile, a member of the DNC architecture.
I recall her.
She was the one who got popped for like delivering questions to Clinton,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
After...
Which, how fucking stupid can you be?
Why would you do that?
Pretty
dumb.
That's so fucking stupid.
I don't defend it. I'm not here to back that up.
Yeah.
So apparently, a little bit after Seth Rich was killed, she, asked the private investigator why he was snooping around. And that's the phrase that's used on like WorldNet Daily and these
snooping.
Sites.
We're in a real-life spy movie. There's snooping going on.
The reality is, at the time, there was an investigation going on by the police, by the actual official folks, and the private investigator in question is the guy who has impeached himself on national television that we discussed on the last episode.
Oh, it's
Seth
that guy.
Rich came up.
Okay.
It's that guy who said that there is evidence that Seth Rich was in communication with WikiLeaks,
right,
and then when he was interviewed about it later, said that he got that information from Fox News reporters.
Exactly.
So
they fed him his own information.
He is not a guy with any real credibility, and the idea that Donna Brazile would have been like, "Why are you, what are you doing? There is an actual investigation going on," isn't really any evidence of a cover up. It is nothing, but people are spinning it as it is. Now,
the question could literally have been like, "Hey, what are you doing?"
Right.
Like, are you here to fix the plumbing? Like, what are you doing?
I'm certain that some of that will be incorporated into Jerome Corsi's big reporting.
Of course.
The other thing that Hannity has been pushing and that has gotten some traction online is Kim.com, the guy who created Mega Upload.
And
the guy who has for years been trying to destroy Hillary Clinton because he believes that she is responsible for a lot of his falls from grace, which are not accurate. That's not an accurate depiction.
Nope.
But when bad things happen to you, you have to find a scapegoat, and Hillary is his.
Hillary's a lot of people's scapegoats.
Totally. Larry Nichols?
Oh, man.
Kim.com. So Kim.com has been saying that he has definitive proof that there was emails between Seth Rich and WikiLeaks.
And I'm sure when he was pressed for that by Hannity, he freely gave all that information and proved it to be true.
Nope, he said he had to talk to his lawyer and he'd announce stuff later.
Oh, no.
And he gave the date of last Tuesday as the day that he was going to do that. He
right.
Did not make any real
Didn't
announcement.
Do it?
No, but what did happen is
He pulled an Alex.
Seth Rich's parents announced, they put out a statement that Kim.com tried to hack Seth Rich's email.
Fuck, I didn't know that.
They got so Seth Rich's dad still has access to his email account.
Right.
And he monitors it for,
obvious reasons.
Yeah. He, last week got an email from megaupload.nz or whatever, megaload.nz,
yeah,
New Zealand account, which is where Kim.com is operating from.
Of course.
And it was an invitation to join a thing. It was clearly a phishing attempt. So,
it was that obvious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that did work for the DNC.
Totally.
Yeah.
And also,
that was, wow.
Also, so basically he was trying to hack the emails so he could plant emails there.
Right.
That's obviously what was going on. And that would have been his bombshell proof that he'd end up dropping on Hannity,
yeah,
and the world.
Yeah.
He has fabricated emails and evidence in the past of stuff. He has a real bad track record,
yeah,
and is a notorious hacker. So, the stuff.
Well, not that great of one, apparently.
No, but apparently Mega Upload was pretty cool. And I'm not against, that. But be that as it may, all of this stuff that's coming out, these new things about Seth Rich, are all bullshit and attempts by people who are pushing the story to fabricate stuff to back up the story.
Right.
Which, when you're doing that, you're not interested in the truth. You're interested in pushing this to deflect from something else.
Exactly.
And that something else, in the case of people like Kim.com, people like Hannity, is that the walls are closing in on the Trump team.
Yeah.
The walls are closing in, and they keep getting out of sticky pickles, sticky wickets, whatever. They keep getting out of these really tight situations, but eventually the luck is going to run out.
Hopefully.
One of these things is going to stick, and it might be this fucking Kushner thing with the back channel.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. But they know that, and that's why they're pushing the Seth Rich shit so hard. And it's undignified, it's disgraceful, it's putting his family through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
Well, that's a sacrifice they're willing to make.
Totally.
Somebody else's family who they don't care about.
Well, I mean, Roger Stone.
If you're gonna pull, if they're gonna give you what you think is a fake conspiracy theory, why wouldn't you give them their own medicine back?
It's Corsi style.
Exactly.
So the thing is, like, Roger Stone even tweeted that, like, the family of Seth Rich deserves privacy, but the American people deserve truth more. Which is something that people who are
Roger Stone?
Yeah.
Huh? Roger Stone? You gonna start talking about how the American people deserve truth?
Yeah, you might
You're the guy that we look to there.
You might live to regret that comment. So this next clip, Alex gets into Hannity's situation with the Seth Rich information.
I just imagine that all of these guys wind up in the same Ecuadorian embassy as Julian Assange.
All in the same room? That's,
yeah, yeah. That's I'll just say sitcom. That's a sitcom right there.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to fucking writing one of these things. So,
and why not the ghost of Saddam Hussein is there too?
Sure, sure. And their antagonist is Hamdi Ulukaya. He keeps trying to be nice to them, but they take it as an attack. So, Alex discusses Hannity's situation.
I just can't wait for the episode where they put tape on the floor and say, this side is yours. Sure. But there's eight of them, so they all get like a four square situation.
Or it's like a pizza pie.
Yeah.
You each get a triangle of the room. Yeah.
Oh, they're not smart enough to figure out the, best geometric way to maximize their space.
Not.
Come on.
Of course not. Here we go. Alex is going to talk about Hannity. And I believe over the course of this clip, Alex shows his cards and we get a glimpse into why he's pushing this extreme narrative, giving you the Tuesday to look forward to, really trying to ramp things up. I think it's in here.
And Sean Hannity being attacked and losing sponsors, and they're talking about taking him off air right now, even if it kills Fox News, which has gone from number one in the ratings to number two.
Actually, number three.
They yeah. want to kill Fox News. I told you that back
lying?
At the convention in July, there was a plan to take it out. They meant to already have Hillary in and already be converting everything and already be shutting us down. But it didn't happen, so now there's a civil war. We didn't win when Trump got in. We just bought time and have an emergency beachhead.
Oh.
I mean, this is getting bad, ladies and gentlemen, where they're pulling Sean Hannity off the air just to send a message.
That's not why.
People say, oh, well, Sean Hannity's not perfect.
Don't fuck up other people's lives,
asshole. Nobody's perfect,
but
he's not out to get the country. Limbaugh's not out to get the country. I'm not out to get the country. Matt Drudge isn't out to get the country. Donald Trump's not out to get the country. We believe in free market, Second Amendment, religious freedom, true liberalism. We're under attack.
Except for other
religions. Because we're Americans. Because we're loyal. Because we're good. So. Everything Hannity's going through, we're going through. And that's why I ask our affiliates to stay with us and to support
oh,
us. That's why
no.
I ask our listeners more than ever to contact
oh,
your local affiliates
shit.
And thank them and to become
People
a sponsor or support their sponsors
you.
And send them $100, $1,000. It's all about
Alex
money.
Jones.
The globalists are coming in, trying
You're
to shut these stations
broke,
down,
yo.
Trying to get their advertisers, or flat out offering them big money to take us off the air. Do you understand that if they succeed in this, the sky's the limit. They're making their move on us right now, and that's on you.
That's on you.
That's on you?
He's basically saying that you've got to defend us from this attack.
Of course.
So
close ranks.
Alex drops a little bit later in the episode. I didn't cut it out because I lost track of where it was in the episode. But he says that they've lost, like, in the last week, something like 15 affiliates.
Fuck yeah.
That's what this is about.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is about.
That's 100% what this is about.
Wow.
A bunch of other stuff that I cut out from this episode, because I don't give a fuck, is just Alex bragging about how great InfoWars coverage is and about how we're right all the time. He's trying to shore
right.
up his credibility at the same time as he's creating this fantastical narrative.
Right.
Where, like, we're the new... fucking Woodward and Bernstein.
Yeah.
We're going to break this story that's bigger than Watergate. At the same time, let's spend about 10 minutes on this episode interviewing Millie Weaver about how she unmasked a member of Antifa. They did do this interview, and throughout the course of it, what you learn is that Millie Weaver was just repeating things she read on 4chan.
No.
So they're like, we got this right. We outed this guy. And then when they actually play the report that Millie Weaver put in, it's just her and Leanne McAdoo talking about pictures they found on 4chan. And then Alex is like, we salute 4chan. It's like, do you know that there's a lot
they
of illegal
do
pornography on there?
Not understand 4chan at
do you,
all.
Do you know what goes on?
Woo.
Yeah. Do you know? Yeah. So, I mean, like, sure. Great.
I don't think I want Rainbow Bright on
Rainbow
4chan.
Snatch.
Rainbow Snatch. That's right.
Rainbow Bright's a real, that's
Rainbow,
trademarked.
Yeah, you're right. I apologize to Rainbow Snatch for the insult. I'm a big fan. Alex
sees the end of the road.
I'm a big fan of the thing that he said, which he's, like, for the longest time, he's been, continuing to make it a fight, you know, like, even though we won, they're still trying to do exactly what they would have done with Hillary in.
He has to do that.
Yeah. But the fact that he said right then, we didn't win.
Yeah.
That's what, that's what to me seems like is laying the groundwork for that dismount.
He said that before though.
Yeah.
He's said that like this was just a temporary win. It's not like,
okay,
Trump doesn't solve everything, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
That sort of shit. That's not like totally new rhetorically, but it does sound
grim.
It sounds grim in
this
case.
It sounds like his swinging dick from when we got Trump elected is turning into, oh, this is going south.
This has created way more issues for us.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how to play this game.
Uh-uh.
So the other thing, too, that I think is important to bring into this conversation, because it's absolutely clear, based on Alex's own words, that they're losing affiliates.
Yeah.
And granted, he doesn't make money from affiliating the show or from syndication, but at the same time, that's thousands
that's
of ears that hear him do all of these long commercials on his show.
Yeah.
So that's going to cut deep into his profits. He says like 15 or 20 have left.
And it's not the small town 15 or 20 affiliates.
Probably
it's not the hundreds of people who are listening in Arkansas or some like backwoods Arkansas.
We went over all those tiny markets on our third episode.
It's the bigger markets who are dropping him.
Probably.
They're the only ones who have any like advertising pressure on them.
And any liberal audiences that are like, get the fuck off the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably true. And then also, He plays super fast and loose about the number of affiliates that he actually has,
which we've estimated is like 95 or something like that.
Well, the only concrete numbers we can get from Genesis Communications Network, which syndicates his show, was that they had like 85 back in 2015.
Uh-huh.
He claims that we keep them secret now so people can't boycott us.
Yeah.
You lost 15 last week keeping them secret.
Yeah. Not doing a great job.
He claims he had
the people who listen to the radio are not being kept in the dark about it.
He claimed he had like 220 or something like that before this fall or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I don't believe that number.
No.
So it's
well, he also doesn't have 48 million people a week listening to him.
No. And that brings us to the other part of what I think this is really about. A story broke in Vanity Fair at the end of last week that was about Breitbart's traffic.
Yeah, dropped by 50%.
Overnight.
Fuck yeah.
Breitbart's traffic shot up precipitously to the point where they were like the 26th most visited website in the world around December of last year, 2016. It stayed up around there and then dropped hard May. Just dropped 50% down.
Which has to be computer.
And
has to be computer generated.
And if you compare that with Vanity Fair has a graph where they show other right wing media, it's all just like going down also. Not at the same like.
No, not at that same precipice. See, that's the thing. If it was that, like, of course there's going to be that slow slide as they continue to reject reality further and further and further. Like, if you are at all interested in the Trump story, even if you support Trump, you can't go to Fox News.
No.
They're not talking about it, period.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way for you to keep abreast of what's going on there is by watching those other networks.
I think it's not
So of course traffic to your conservative bullshit is going to go down. If there's a cliff, though, that is an algorithm.
Totally.
That's and math.
There's a comment from the statistics come from Alexa, which we've explored in the past.
Right.
They are a web traffic statistics site. It's basically used for like advertising and shit.
Uh-huh.
And they Vanity Fair reached out to the Alexa people and was asking for like what would cause this. And the person that they talked to had a quote I apologize, I'm paraphrasing now, but she was saying that there is a thing, there's certified statistics and not certified statistics. And when you run a website, you can turn off that certified thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they don't know if it's real traffic coming to your website or not.
Right.
And apparently, that stretch was a period of time where Breitbart had opted out of the certified statistics.
And then they opted in.
Probably.
Oh, no.
Yep. And the article mentions that the time period where they were opted out matches up perfectly with the up and the down.
Right.
Which, I mean,
100%. Well, that would probably happen for just about, for most websites.
But not to that extent.
Not to that extent, though. I know what you're, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you opt out of certified traffic, you're probably going to see an uptick of what you thought was, or what you think is traffic.
There's going to be accidental,
exactly,
web crawlers and stuff, yeah, like that. That
or
just come.
Spam shit that, sure, goes through there and trolls around, like that kind, yeah, of a thing.
When I used to run I had a blog way back, and there would be comments that would constantly come from, yeah, advertising.
Exactly.
Shit. And if you don't block those things, it'll artificially inflate things.
Of course.
So I think Alex knows about that and has known about that. And the fact that they knew that Breitbart's traffic had dropped before that article came out. Like, Breitbart knew that.
Yeah.
And there's a decent chance that Alex knew that. There's a decent chance that a lot of people knew that. There is a triangulation of right-wing media that is Drudge up top, Alex Jones, and Breitbart,
yeah,
as sort of tendrils that come, yeah, off it.
Pyramid scheme shit.
Yeah. And, yeah, so, like, they all feed into each other to some extent. Now, there's less, like, cross-pollination directly between Breitbart and InfoWars.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, like, necessarily promote each other's shit, but they still play in the same kiddie pool that involves sucking up to Drudge.
Right.
So if there's something where half of the traffic has dropped for Breitbart overnight, there's no fucking way Alex doesn't know about that.
Right.
And he has to think,
when's his drop coming?
Because we don't know from the statistics that are on Alexa, we don't know if his traffic is certified. We don't know that.
We can probably assume it's not.
But we don't know.
I think it's safe to assume it's not.
We don't know.
We
have
we
no
don't
idea.
Know.
We have no idea.
But it would lend credence to my suspicion that, once again, you are the only person listening to a show.
It's trending downward, certainly, traffic to InfoWars and, uh-huh, what have you. But it's, I can't believe a scenario wherein, like, Alex doesn't see this Vanity Fair article as a real warning sign, like a real dangerous sign. It could either be that he knows that a lot of his traffic is bullshit and it's about to come out into the open. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, oh shit, this ideology that we've all been backing isn't as popular as I thought it was.
Right.
There's a part of it that could just be like the wool is pulled from his eyes. It's like, oh shit, they were faking it all along. Mm. Oh no.
Right.
Oh God. So much of my believing in Trump was based on articles in Breitbart, probably.
Yeah.
Oh no, I got played.
I don't think he could never admit that to himself.
But that doesn't mean he can't feel it. Even if he doesn't admit
That's
it,
possible.
It doesn't mean that it's not somewhere buried deep down.
Right.
That combined with the very real and self-admitted losing a ton of affiliates, and it's not like that's going to stop. That bleeding is not going to stop.
Right.
He knows, I am fucked. I am so fucked. And at the same time, this Russia shit is going down. It's just so bad. Everything is falling apart. The chips are gone. He's at the table. He's at the poker table. He's got like one chip left, and there's a guy who's going to force him all in. That is where he's at.
Yeah.
He's got a chip and a chair. He's got a hope, but he is not looking good.
Man, how does this, man, what goes down? What's his out?
Like, I'm trying to. Murdering Jerome Corsi? Sacrificing Corsi to the god of traffic?
Yeah, that could be. Like, it's the same thing for all of these guys right now. It seems like what's really being revealed is that the conservative consciousness is way less popular than it's given attention to.
Big time.
Like, so a lot of that, and just like we've talked about.
That's why Trump sends out emails fundraising with a 48% approval rating where he's like thumbs up.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ.
What are you doing?
Yeah. No, just like we talked about with the Twitter bots, where what their job is to amplify this stuff.
Manufacture the appearance of agreement.
Exactly.
Or popularity.
Make a story into the echo chamber.
Yeah.
Push it as high up as it can go.
Yeah.
And that makes you and I think this is a far more popular, far larger movement than what we would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if everybody actually knew that all of these guys were really just marginalized and a very small group of people,
mm-hmm,
we wouldn't be paying as much attention to them.
I would still pay attention to Alex because I think he's fascinating.
I don't mean you and I. I mean the culture at large.
Yeah.
Like, why would you be reporting on what Breitbart says if it's, 300,000 fucks from Stormfront? Stormfront isn't being manipulated and put into the larger consciousness.
No, not really.
So why would you pay attention to it if Breitbart is just Stormfront?
Yeah.
Like, just leave it alone. Ignore it.
Yeah.
Now, it's probably going to fester the same way that Stormfront and all of that shit has.
Yeah.
And marginalizing them will probably only make them more violent.
Yeah.
But who cares? There's not a lot of them.
Mm.
So if there's not a lot of them, then those conservatives in Congress and all of those people, you see that as transparent as the voter suppression is, it's their only hope.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance for them if real people get involved. Like, there's zero chance.
Yeah.
Like, there is no ideology more unpopular right now than the shit conservatives believe.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
And I think over the recess, with people going back to their places where their constituents are,
they're going
to
murder Jerome Corsi.
I think that you're going to see a lot of people, like, doing sit-ins at like politicians' headquarters and stuff.
I fucking hope so. Everything that comes out is like every day you're like, well, this is the one where people are finally going to start burning shit down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day it's something worse and you're like, well, we can't just keep putting this off, guys.
Well, no, but that's why we have all the news stories about the clashes between Antifa and the alt-right stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that serves as like
Which is delightful.
But that serves as like a decompression valve.
Right.
That gets the steam out for everyone like you and I sitting around. It's like, look at these people out there fighting. There are people who are doing it.
Yeah.
And we don't feel like we have to go out and sit in or something like
that.
Yeah,
we can vicariously live through that.
Right.
And I can still have that fantasy in my head of where it'd be like, oh, I'd definitely punch a fascist.
Yeah, I'd punch a Proud Boy.
Yeah, God, I would punch a Proud Boy, though.
Yeesh.
I think that's something that I fully support and truly believe in myself, that if a Proud Boy came up to me.
Yeah.
And said, hey, Jordan, I'm a Proud Boy.
Pop.
Punch him in the face.
Punch him right in that kisser.
Right in that goddamn face.
So I think that, I mean, I'm using a little bit of speculation in terms of what I think is really going on, but I think it has much more of a factual basis than Jerome Corsi has stumbled into information that will get him killed. And because this hypothetical congressperson is going to flee the country on Monday, I can't talk about it till Tuesday.
Right.
Even though that's our fake version of why he can't talk about it till Tuesday, but who cares?
That's the best we can do.
So that's his first narrative. If you recall, there were two pieces of information.
The memo and the big news.
No, there were two pieces of information within the big news that Alex has the green light to talk about.
Right.
There's two that he doesn't. So
Democrats wanted Democrats to know.
Right. As a message.
As a message. Mm-hmm. And then it was Kim.com and Hannity and.
No, that's not. Those are just. That's just background.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No, then the next thing is we're losing affiliates.
Actually, no, that's just what I think is going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
That's what I think the reality is.
Okay.
It's motivating this. There's still a second piece of big news to get to.
Okay.
Which we will in just a second.
Oh, but I thought we had already gotten that one.
No, no. Anyway, here's the second piece.
So let me give you the big news here that I'm allowed to give you. And this has already been confirmed, but Trump has it. Total proof.
Has it.
And has been sitting on it because
Alex.
He gives out national security information.
Has it.
But he's the president. He's allowed to declassify. He has total proof that the Democratic Party itself gave thousands of individuals and multiple large companies complete access to the NSA grid to spy on hundreds of thousands of Americans, not thousands, during the election for political control. And that foreign nationals were allowed access and were allowed to penetrate and to even put in hubs, control hubs, into
porn
Congress
hubs.
And into the systems, bypassing the firewalls and then transferring the data out of the country.
So how does that grab you?
So he's saying that the Democrats gave gave a bunch of people access to the NSA database to monitor hundreds of thousands of people during the election.
Mm-hmm. For political reasons.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I get, like, that's more believable than anything else he said so far today. That's the most believable thing that he said. Because frankly, at this point, the NSA seems to have given everybody that fucking information. And the fucking, all the shit that destroyed, British hospitals and the NHS, like all of that stuff is them. Mm-hmm. Is shit that they're like, we built this amazing toy. And, oh shit, it's gone. Like, that's them.
So I think Jerome Corsi's life is safe.
Because
he got scooped. There's a post that came out on Friday on Circa.com. I'll read you the headline. Declassified memos show FBI illegally shared spy data on Americans with private parties. So this news is already out. Alex should not have waited till Tuesday.
It's in the white papers.
So this is an article that basically misrepresents the situation at hand. It links to a declassified report here. It's 99 pages long, and it is basically, it's about the certification of Article 702 of the FISA court regulations.
So we're about to, ladies and gentlemen, hang on to your seats.
I'm not.
Because we're about to get into Article 702.
It has to do with, like, I don't fully understand it because it's very specific, very, very detailed. But 702 has to do with collecting of information on foreign individuals. And there's a lot of rules about how, it is done, and about how you're not supposed to get American citizens wrapped up in it.
Yeah. Because of laws.
It's the whole conversation that's gone on about unmasking and all this stuff. It all has to do largely with 702, Section 702.
And they did collect Americans' data.
Yeah, but
there's
a lot of it was
incidental. There's a reason that program is... A lot of it was incidental. I will admit that. But yeah. They still collected and stored American data. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that program was stopped is because it was illegal.
So I read this entire declassified 99-page piece of business. And it's actually... It's pretty interesting because it has to do with a review of the guidelines that are used to make sure that information doesn't get out. It has to,
right.
It has to do basically with what they call minimization procedures, basically how you keep things inside. And the findings that they had.
If you get an email from Mega Upload, don't click on the link.
Don't do it.
Don't click on that link.
It's Kim.com trying to plant something. Maybe his new EDM CD trying to drop. Drop that in your email like he's U2 trying to invade my Apple Music. Get out, Bono. So the two things that I think are the most important that you can find if you read this are that, as we all know and we're not comfortable with necessarily, the NSA does collect upstream internet traffic and stuff like that. They collect in huge databases that can eventually be searched, but those databases are purged after a certain amount of time. Still fucked up. But it's perfectly legal according to reviews that they've done based on laws that we may or may not agree with.
Reviews they've done internally.
Yeah, but again, look, I can't litigate whether the program is right or wrong. All I can do is talk about the story that Alex is presenting.
True.
Because if we get into that, then of course we're against it.
Yeah.
And that's too big to unpack.
Okay.
So what they've found is that some people...
Snowden's a hero. Anyways, continue.
I don't unpack that either. Some people within the NSA structure had been Googling, because it's not Google.
But no.
They'd been using
a search engine for that data.
Yes, and they had been using U.S. persons, and they'd searched, and they weren't supposed to.
Right.
That you're not supposed to do that.
Somebody abused a system that was so there for abusing.
Right, but it
was the most abusable system there's ever been.
Upon their review, they're not sure that they really even found anything that they used wrongly. You know, it's just...
Yeah, one guy looked up his ex-girlfriend for sure.
Probably.
There's no doubt about that.
Probably.
There's no doubt about that.
And that's bad. It's wrong.
It's super wrong.
But it's not indicative of any of the stuff that Alex is breaking in this story, nor is it indicative of the stuff that's in the Circa story, the story that's talking about this.
Right.
When the review that this is a report of, when they looked into it, they deemed that most of this is due to people being unaware of rules, being unaware of the guidelines, and they just basically recommend review teams and that the rules that are in place are satisfactory and they do meet the Fourth Amendment requirements, etc.
Merkily, so, but perhaps they do.
The part that Alex was talking about giving information to private folks and foreign governments or foreign individuals, that's not in here. That if he's talking about something else, then whatever. But here's what he might be talking about. On March 9th, 2016, DOJ oversight personnel conducting a minimization review at the FBI's blank learned that the FBI, because a lot of this is redacted.
Yeah, of course it is.
Learned that the FBI had disclosed raw FISA information, including but not limited to Section 702 acquired information to a blank, blank, blank. Blank is part of the blank, blank. And is
and fascinating read.
Yeah. And is, quote, largely staffed by private contractors. Blank, blank, certainly blank contractors had access to raw FISA information on the FBI's storage systems. The apparent purpose for the FBI granting such access was to receive analytical assistance from blank, 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 blank. Nevertheless, the contractors had access to raw FISA information that went well beyond what was necessary to respond to the FBI's requests. Blank. The FBI discontinued the above-described access to raw FISA information as of April 18th, 2016.
Oh, okay. Well, that's actually pretty fast for them to solve that leak.
The contractors in question received training on the FBI minimization procedures, stored the raw information only on FBI systems, and did not disseminate it further. Nonetheless, the above-described practices violated the government's minimization procedures. So they did a review of it and stopped.
That is startling competency.
Yeah, but that's also...
Startling competency.
That's also, I mean, it's fucked up, but we don't know what that private contractor company was.
Right.
It could be some sort of non-governmental organization that they were consulting and they just sort of fucked up in terms of handling.
Yeah, that sounds more like an oversight issue than a malicious issue. That's more like, oops.
Yeah.
We assumed that everybody was operating under the same rules that we did and some people didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Just like anybody, you know the guy at your job who's kind of an idiot but is in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's fucks up.
Yeah.
And then they do look into it and they go, oh, well, this is fucked up, and they fix it.
There's another heavily retracted section or redacted section where they talk about another instance of the FBI giving raw data of 702 acquired information to another contractor. But because of the way it's redacted, it appears that that is a federal agency that they had given information to, but they just didn't do it appropriately.
Right.
They didn't meet the requirements of Section 5D of the FBI minimization procedures. So it's more technical snafus than it is they were given everybody access to the NSA grid.
Yeah, it seems like nothing there is really, like, it seems like nothing there is really worrisome. Other than the fact that these people have all of our information, and when they fuck up, it means all of that stuff can be released.
Well,
if you do give it to those private contractors and they are malicious, mm-hmm. then you'd be fucked.
Yeah.
So that's why you have those guidelines in place. And it seems like what happened was they realized that they could have been fucked. And so they plugged that hole.
Right. And it's bad. It's not good. You know,
it's not good.
It's not good. But at the same time, it's not
simply
evil.
Having all of that information is not good.
No, but it's not nefarious. It's more. Oops.
Yep.
And as it is illustrated in this declassified document, they did reviews and they stopped these things that were clearly like, oh, we have a fuck up in our process. Let's fix that.
Yeah.
And then this review itself recommends review teams to make sure that everyone's in compliance, which is great. There's one other thing that people could get up in arms about in this declassified document. That is that the spying on people accidentally took in some stuff that was covered under attorney-client privilege. And so
that sounds about right.
Yeah, but I mean, of course.
Yeah.
But then, in response to that, they recommended steps that they could undertake to make sure that that doesn't happen. And make sure that they're more sensitive in the future to things that they should not be reading. So.
And this happened in 2016?
This review is 2017. This declassified review is from this year.
Okay.
It's from very recently.
Okay.
And
that's way after they stopped the bulk data collection program, or at least are supposed to have stopped the bulk data collection program.
Yeah. Because
they did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
So This is
from April 2017.
Yeah, this is people trying very hard to comply with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing great at it so far. But they're trying to get better.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it just, at the end of it, they specify that the practices and the guidelines that are in place for managing of data comply with the Fourth Amendment. And then just it lists out a number of recommendations about ways to better handle things to make sure the little systemic problems that have happened in the past don't happen again.
Right.
It's basically this just, it's like this a workplace review.
Like, yeah, this has the sound of like a nuclear reactor test,
mm-hmm.
where we are working with an insanely dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Beyond reason. And a minor fuck up here is not like a minor fuck up at an office.
No.
This is, it's possible that a lot of people will die if you fuck up here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is that kind of like, we're constantly putting these tests in to make sure that our reactor doesn't melt down.
Yeah. Now it's possible that Corsi's talking about something else, but that's a declassified document that seems to have to do with very similar things that came out on Friday.
Right. So it fits all of the stuff they've described.
Now
if you and I were to go up to them and tell them this is what you were talking about, they would of course say, No, we got a completely different declassified
document. We'll talk
document.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I accept the possibility that they're talking about something else, but all of my instincts tell me this is what we're talking about, and that is a lie narrative that he's pitching.
Yeah.
Based on, I've read the entire document.
Because who else but you is going to read the entire document?
I don't think those people who wrote the Circa article read the entire document.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It did not sound like a summer read.
It was rough. And it's the kind of thing, like, when you read court documents and stuff like that, especially because I found it this morning before we started recording. And I don't think if I had 2 days, I'd be able to read that and then succinctly verbally describe it.
Uh-huh.
I could write you a book report on it. But like, it's like fucking legal shit. It's all this like repeated terms. And, you know, it's very difficult, but I'm not doing the best job of describing it. I'll put up a link to this document. And you can read it if you want. Who cares? Read it. Read it if you want, like, if you're out at the beach, pull it up on your Kindle.
Yep.
But, like, please trust me, it's not what Alex is talking about. Like, it's not that narrative. Anyway, let's get off this topic, and let's jump into greener pastures of Alex trying to sell some shit.
The future of our species is being fought right now. Also, please spread the word about our local affiliates, about Infowars.com, about our YouTube videos, our articles. Sharing those articles, sharing those videos is an act of resistance. And despite all their attempts to censor and block us and govern us back, it's failing. We're exploding and growing faster than ever. So God bless you all.
It seems like you're
losing a lot of
support.
Thank you for the support, because if I'm going to risk my life, I'm going to do it to win. What about you?
What about you?
Well, we're winning together.
Nope.
And of course, we've got Memorial Day specials, some of which are the best we've ever offered. We have a lot of different specials, a lot of different.
All his specials are the biggest they've ever offered. Also, we already talked about this. He's losing affiliates. If you look at the Alexa shit, his traffic is slumping. I went to Quantcast the other day, and I was looking to see if there was an upward trend, and there's not. He's still in the about 200,000 to 300,000 visitors to his site a day.
Uh-huh.
There's been nothing, like, other than, he has those one-day peaks that go up. But no, there's nothing trending upwards. He doesn't appear to be losing a ton, but it is trending downwards, and you're losing your fucking affiliates. You're not winning, Alex. That's not to say that we're winning.
No.
We're doing fine, but that's...
We're slowly gaining from zero affiliates to hopefully one within the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, but here's what we don't do.
We're trending upwards towards one affiliate.
So, we just heard that Trump has this proof about this supposed, the shit that Obama and the Democrats had been doing.
Yes.
Alex wants to talk a little bit more about that.
Trump has the proof as POTUS that they're on the Russian and Chinese payroll, and that they were spying on everybody, and that's why they're so scared of Trump and trying to keep him, like their lives depend on it, from getting his people, his appointees, into the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth places.
As somebody
the reason
on
they're rebelling
the payroll,
so hard
know.
Is as a rogue government, they were doing whatever they wanted to do.
That's a fascinating clip, because, like, Trump hasn't appointed people that could be approved or disapproved. So that idea that, like, they're blocking his ability to get the people in the second, third layers, it's like, he's not even trying.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Alex? That's absurd. But then he's like, because he knows that they were a rogue government doing whatever they wanted. And like, it kind of describes what's going on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of very accurate to right now.
That's another one of those times where he has to know.
Totally.
He has to know that what he's saying is the inverse of what is happening.
Well, yeah, I think so. And that's a big part of the investigation that we're going to be starting tomorrow, is that I desperately want to know what happened. Like, why did Alex Jones go down this path?
Right. When did it turn?
I think that Alex is holding up a line that he knows is bullshit. I think he knows that he has to.
Mm-hmm. I know that he has to. Because he can't flip-flop now.
No.
Like, he can't switch this path.
Not at all.
So he's gotta ride it, till whatever end it's going to take, which is almost 95% chance going to be some sort of disaster for him.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. There has to be that.
But here's the thing, though. It's like, stuff like that. Him saying stuff like that, like saying that Obama's government was just reckless and doing whatever they want, and never taking a look at the shit that Trump is doing or the people around him are doing.
Yeah, but he's doing it for good.
Right. He's doing it against the globalists.
Right.
Right. Whatever. So, like, but the fact that he's doing that and making that concession and being, like, willing to turn the blind eye is not like him. It's not what he's about based on his entire career. But at the same time, he's still a lot of himself. Like those masculinity ideas.
Yeah.
Those racist ideas. Those are still him.
Yeah.
But that stuff, like the political stuff, that's not Alex Jonesy.
No, I don't think he's ever really, like, gone whole hog in for a candidate before, has he?
Except for, like, Ron Paul, kind of.
Right. But, I mean, even then.
Never a winning candidate.
Yeah.
Never a candidate who could win.
Right. Which is what he had to have thought Trump was.
It's possible. I've learned a whole bunch of stuff in this investigation.
Unless there's some investigation elements that you need to reveal to us.
And I will at the appropriate time. But for now, let's enjoy what real Alex is.
Okay.
And this clip really sums it up.
But there's something about betas in a man's world that have never been slapped down.
Oh,
they're some
sweet,
of the most dangerous people out there.
Sweet, sweet Alex.
Because a real alpha's been hurt. A real lion's been through a bunch of fights and knows no matter how tough you think you are, on any given Sunday, you can get your ass run over. And that's the point we've reached here with a bunch of crazies who know they've committed incredible crimes, and they know that Trump really is trying to drain the swamp, and if they drain that sucker, they know they're all going to prison. Because a bunch of them are child molesters, a bunch of them are child killers, a bunch of them are sold out to foreign governments, the Muslims, the corrupt Catholic Church at the top, communist China.
Anymore.
I mean, this is a group of sellout trash who were hell-bent to bankrupt the country and get us dumbed down to protect themselves from all the crimes they'd committed.
That's wild. Do you understand what he's trying to get at there?
I don't.
So all
it's too couched in so much of that, like I all I hear is the same boring shit now. Where
it is.
Everybody's a child molester. Everybody's a pedophile. If they go after one of you, everybody's in jail. If men are not real men.
Isn't it fascinating how all this, like, really inflammatory, should be interesting stuff has become very boring?
Oh, it's so boring. He says this every fucking day.
He does. But I think the reason that I kept that clip in is I think it's super interesting that, like, he has this whole narrative that, like, the fluoride in the water and all this
right.
is trying to dumb you down. Like, he has to incorporate everything into one grand conspiracy that the globalists are doing.
And the grand unified field conspiracy theory.
And he throws that dart right at the end. He's like, they're dumbing you down so they can get away with their crimes. And all these crimes are the things that he's listed that Trump is going to stop them from being able to commit, because conceivably Trump has never drank fluoride. And he's a genius, man.
Who has been planning this for 30 years.
And he
he's
not a beta.
He's a stealth patriot.
Right. Sleeper cell.
Yeah.
But the reason that I think that is interesting is that in the past, Alex has used a whole bunch of other reasons that they're dumbing us down. You know, like, that's not what he said in the past. He said that they're dumbing us down so they get us to fight each other. Or things like that. Other end goals of the dumbing people down thing.
The point of all of this stuff, and the thing that I think makes it boring for me, to hear that long laundry list now, is he repeats the same stuff, and then whatever end goal he thinks you're afraid of today is why that stuff is happening.
Totally.
So you're afraid today of the government getting away with shit. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're dumbing you down. Or you're afraid they're going to take your guns away. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're dumbing you down.
They're dumbing they're dumbing everyone else down so they don't see they're coming for the
exactly,
guns.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it's always these like tent poles.
It's almost
in service to whatever. And like he's throwing darts at a wall. Like what is going to be the cause of this today?
It's almost like he has a set of lies that he just repeats, much like he has accused the mainstream media of doing.
It is very similar to that.
Very similar. Anyway, let's wrap this up because we're about done with this episode.
Okay.
But at the end, so he's been freaking out the whole time, and that's kind of done now because Larry Nichols is back.
Right.
Our old friend Larry Nichols.
L. Nix.
He comes on.
Stevie Larry Nichols.
And I've got two clips of him. Basically, as the internet would say, Larry Nichols is back on his bullshit.
Okay.
Because he is just telling Alex that we need to build an army. And that we're the only ones who can help Trump, all this stuff. It's very, ignorable.
Bananas.
You guys will learn more about just how much of a douche.
Right after this break.
Tomorrow, Larry Nichols, you'll learn all about him. But for now, all you need to really know is that he is a Clinton insider. He's a guy who has fucking amazing sources. At least that's the way they presented on the show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's got inside information. And he comes to Alex, and he's got this prediction to give. And you would not know this unless you had inside sources. I guarantee that.
Okay.
This is some high-level stuff.
Is it enough to get Corsi killed? Because that's my new measurement is not classified declassified. It's what level of info gets Corsi killed.
This gets Corsi's family killed.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
We're getting real.
So here you go.
You know my sources in Washington. I've never lied to you, and what I've told you comes to pass.
Except for when I told you there was witches.
6 months, they plan to impeach Donald Trump. 6 months. They've already started, Alex.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Insight.
6 months.
That is just something.
That seems almost too long.
It's something you could guess.
Yeah.
You do not need inside sources to tell you.
If you're a Clinton insider, that's the only way you would get that information.
Well, former Clinton insider, because of course he's turned on.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah, he has high level sources that tell him things that you could glean from reading the front page of the paper.
Yeah.
So Larry.
Yeah, didn't the New York Times even or at least a few places, confirmed that the Republican senators were going back to their town halls, and that was going to be their litmus test for, like, hey, we're either on board or we're off it, and this is how we're going
to
tell.
Yeah, and that's why Larry, in this interview, he keeps saying that we need to tell people, Republican leaders, that if they support this impeachment, they're done.
Right.
So he's trying to sort of be the counterweight to that. And I mean, like, all right, great. It's not going to work.
Man, the GOP is in a real shit spot right now.
Especially the people who claim they're not GOP.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Nichols and Alex are in a terrible spot. I mean...
Well, so is fucking Congress.
The only people who are doing great right now are Rebel Media, Mike Cernovich, Gavin McGinnis.
Fuck him.
Yeah, those people are doing great.
They're doing great right now.
Yeah, because they are just sort of...
Well, because they've embraced the white nationalist wave.
And the chaos, and they pretend they're doing mimetic warfare and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Alex is still not embracing whole hog white nationalism.
Yeah.
Like, Gavin McGinnis is... Gavin has a dildo shaped like white nationalism right up his ass right
now. To Alex's great detriment, he's stuck in the dog whistle phase.
Yeah.
Even though he screams outright bigotry.
Yeah.
He's just not gone far enough and he's too serious. Like Gavin McGinnis and Mike Cernovich at least have the appearance of a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like they at least can make a goof and laugh. Like I've seen Mike Cernovich.
Ha ha ha. That's not a laugh to you?
No.
That's not a laugh? Ha ha ha.
I've seen Cernovich and Gavin laugh and I'm like, they're having a good time.
Oh.
They're dicks. but they're having a good time.
Never seen Alex have a good time.
Nope. And I think that's hurting him. Because young people don't want this stuffy old asshole being up there.
That is, like, he is becoming less relevant. Even like, so he reached his pinnacle.
More or less.
Like when Trump was elected, that was the pinnacle of what his popularity could be. And he's just going to go down.
Well,
there's no up from here.
If I had to imagine, and I don't, even my investigation can't prove this at this point,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that he had a choice of two directions and a fork in the road.
Okay.
One was support Trump, one not. And he took the wrong one because once he decided to support Trump, the two outcomes that were possible there is Trump wins, Trump loses. Trump loses, he's the guy who cheered for a loser, but at least he could still save a little face.
Right.
And be like, we could have won, we got
but
cheated,
we got
blah,
cheated.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be your narrative.
Once they win, once you go down that path and you win, you have now outlived your usefulness.
Yeah.
You don't really have a purpose to serve anymore. You were the propagandist that got us in.
Right.
And now, you can't do shit to help us.
Right.
He can't save them from this Russia investigation.
How would you know that by helping to elect an authoritarian government, perhaps you would no longer be on the inner circle?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever fucking happened before in the history of, it happens every goddamn fucking time.
I'm sure Roger Stone is feeling that now too.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Unless Trump is actually calling him frequently.
I don't think so. But no. When we go back and like you could have taken the path of not supporting Trump, and you, even if Trump wins, you win. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's the initial fork that is support or don't support, and each of those has two branching paths off it. The two branching paths for don't support are both wins. One of them with win, or support Trump, is a real negative. And he happened to get that.
Yeah.
That path is the one that he ended up going.
He picked
down.
Door number three, and that was the wrong door.
That was very much the
he
wrong door.
He got the mystery box, and it was just a box full of bad kittens.
Like, if he had chosen not to support Trump, and he loses, no skin off his back, his whole globalist narrative can continue.
Yep.
Now he has Hillary in office. He can be
and
like...
And that is only more, like...
It's perfect.
The best thing for him was for Hillary to have won.
If he doesn't support Trump and Trump wins, now he can say, glad Hillary lost. He can celebrate that, and... Of course Trump is going to fall into
exactly what he's done so far.
A series of gaffes that are just going to be complete manna from heaven for Alex. Because then he can go against this Republican candidate, this Republican winner. Like, he could have made hay out of that. It could have been another...
God, think of how great his shit on Russia would be right now.
It would be amazing.
He would be on fire, just... The Russians are controlling the government. I told you this.
This also gets into my investigation.
Aha.
Because I don't think he ever had the choice to take that path.
Oh, shit.
I think that choice was made for him. Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. God damn it. You beat me a beat to it.
I don't want to give away all of my secrets. So Larry Nichols presents himself as a
witch hunter.
Certainly, he's a Van Helsing type.
Yes, yep.
He is a Clinton insider, as we've said, and he knows all about their shit. He is responsible for the term an Arkanside, which is an Arkansas suicide, which is the Clinton shooting you.
Yeah, the Vince Foster. Yeah,
and all
yeah,
these
yeah,
other
yeah.
people who gotcha. He blames them for murdering.
Right.
So he believes that the Clintons killed.
That's a pretty solid. Arkanside?
It's a nice
That's a
portmanteau.
Pretty solid portmanteau.
So he believes that they killed Seth Rich. And he has one of the worst pieces of defense for that. And I'm about to play it here.
Alex, Seth Rich. The Inquirer called me, National Inquirer called me, and they said, what about this
Just
death?
Where they?
Reach of an Arkanside. I said, yes. And they said, well, what is it? And I told them, I said, well, one of the key signatures of an Arkanside is when the family comes out and tries to stop anybody from investigating it. Well, they told me on the Inquirer, they said, well, no, they're not doing that. Well, we find out, yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
well, they told me, the National Inquirer,
yeah.
that wasn't true.
Bat Boy is on the case.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
So the thing that that's a problem with that.
They also asked him about aliens and whether or not witches were real. He left that out. He did, however,
off the record.
He did, however, point out that Seth Rich did have two antennae on him when he was murdered.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That could mean any number of different things. We still do not have that proved. I do have high level sources to listen.
Sure.
Dan.
Yeah.
If I am murdered over the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
I have released a dead drop that is filled with alien corpses.
Well, no, you've just told everyone.
Oh, God damn it. No.
So the problem with Larry's sort of line is that one of the hallmarks of an Arkanside is people close to the victim telling you to shut up.
Yes.
So
one of the hallmarks also of a murder that has been turned into a massive conspiracy theory
and politicized
is the family saying, please shut up.
Well, but that's the thing, is that he does not see a difference between the police and Sean Hannity, because the family has been very clear that they don't mind it being investigated. But what they don't want is Kim.com hacking his email. They don't want Hannity turning this into a ratings grab. They don't want Alex Jones trying to compensate for losing all his affiliates by making this into a big story that may or may not get Jerome Corsi murdered. They don't want that because that's not an investigation.
Nope.
That's show business. That's politics. That's bullshit. That's propaganda. They don't want their son's death to be a part of that. They've been very clear they're fine with an investigation. And Larry, you know that. I know you're 80 years old or whatever and you're on your deathbed, but you know that. Stop pretending. It's fucking bullshit.
I mean, even if you believe the most, like, even if you believe the Seth Rich conspiracy theory there, there's no, well, I think maybe the better way to put it is, if you believe the Seth Rich conspiracy theory, everything plays into how right you are.
Lay that out for me.
If you believe that Seth Rich was killed by the DNC or whatever conspiracy theory you want to pull into it, the fact that the parents are saying, you know, we want an investigation, but we don't want you to do it. We don't want Hannity doing it. That plays into the fact that, of course, the DNC doesn't want Hannity looking into it.
Or the
they
family
know
doesn't
that
want
he's
Hannity.
Not. Yeah, yeah. Of course not. Of course not. Of course, if they did say, hey, fucking, we're open and honest, we're going to let you do that. Well, that proves that Seth Rich was killed, because the only reason that you would be so open and honest is if they've already covered it up so easily that you can't find any information.
Right. This is how stupid people
work. There's no win against this conspiracy theory.
Nope.
Because all it really is...
is a mem.
It's... Well, I mean, what the conspiracy theory is a manufactured look at me.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything that you could want to be happening right now as Trump is committing treason.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have.
It's the distraction. So wait, over here.
And it's also a good distraction, because the way you think of it is, oh, well, Trump's bullshit is a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
So we have a bunch of people who are already looking to believe in any conspiracy theory. Why not give them our conspiracy theory?
That's Corsi shit.
That's the whole idea. If you are primed to believe in conspiracies, which frankly at this point, God damn it, if we aren't all.
Yeah.
You know, listening to the news is like, wait, this guy was over here and then this guy, and then Kislyak is everywhere, and he's the spider from Game of Thrones. And,
yeah.
Well, it, fucking anything could be true.
Totally.
At this point, fucking Kislyak probably did 9/11. I'm not saying that for sure.
It's in the white papers.
He's probably the architect behind it.
Yeah.
But so we're all primed for that, so why not just make up your own and try and co-opt as much of that as you can?
It makes me think of, like, Alex Jones's rants about the Overton window.
Yeah.
And, like, how this entire thought system, this entire, like, conspiratorial thought system has just overtaken rationality.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard to... I mean, because as it becomes closer and closer, Occam's razor starts to be more and more on the side of treason.
Yeah.
And less on the side of, these guys are fucking stupid and they just wanted to steal a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Like they,
but, I mean, that's a part of it.
The Trump campaign would make a great Ocean's 14. Like that, cause that's what it seems like it was. It was a bunch of assholes getting together, trying to con as many people out of their money as possible.
Yeah, but it lacks the diversity of an Ocean's movie.
See, well, that's true. But instead of them, you know, stealing all the casino's money at the end and just sitting out there at the fountain going like, hey guys, we did it. Instead, they own the casino now. Mm-hmm. And they had no idea they had to run the casino.
Right. And then they have been working with a rival casino. And a lot of people at that casino lose their jobs.
Yeah.
And then the casino gets set on fire by that rival casino.
And then everybody dies. But Seth Rich, anyways, was killed by Kislyak. So.
As likely as
there's,
anything.
There's just, it, like, the only thing that you can point to in all of this is just that there is some sort of collapse about to happen.
Yeah. Like, but I think it's
seems,
Alex.
It seems like it's just, I'm period.
Yeah.
Something is going to collapse, and it's like right now you can see that our institutions, all of our belief in the rule of law, like all of that stuff is putting up a lot more of a fight than I may have initially expected.
Well, one branch of the government.
Yeah, exactly. It seems to be holding a little bit stronger than I would have expected, but something's going to break here.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Well, I think that what's going to happen is, I mean, the only thing I can see happening, and I mean, I might be a little bit conspiratorial here myself, but the arm of the government that's holding up is the legislative branch. The executive branch is fucked because there aren't people in the staffed positions. Like, the State Department's basically empty.
Right.
All the people are incompetent.
God, how is that? How we're not even functioning as a
no. Yeah. The executive branch is all the people who are in charge are basically incompetents who are flunkies. The people like the you know, I wanted to say Herman Cain.
He is.
Ben, the Ben Carsons,
yeah,
the Rick Perrys,
yep.
These people have no business being in the positions they're in.
Rick Perry could not be happier that he is not in the news, right?
Thrilled.
Like, Rick Perry is most incompetent running an organization that he does not understand.
He's going to be all over the news once nukes are in play.
Yeah, but God, if he is not loving this right now, just like
having a nice break.
I am doing fuck all.
He better
Nobody's
be studying.
Me.
He better be fucking studying on what his branch of government does. But anyway, the executive branch is completely fucked. It's Swiss cheese in the departments, and you know, you got nothing there. And a leader who seems to be actively hostile to the idea of a functioning government.
And
you
entirely, somewhere along the line, there's some mental degradation going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. And he has weirdos around him advising him poorly. Mm-hmm. Then you have the...
And his daughter.
The legislative branch is a complete shit show. You've got Republicans in power in both houses, and they seem unwilling to deal with the problem of the executive branch that they could wield some control over, and they won't.
They're doing they are at this point, like, fucking Trump was gonna be Trump.
Right.
The legislative branch, the GOP, congressmen right now have shown that they will gladly watch the entire republic fall so they can lower taxes for rich people.
Not understanding that once it falls, tax code won't matter.
Not an important thing.
But what I'm getting at is both of these branches are completely fucked. The judicial branch, except for the Supreme Court, which is a wild card. We don't know exactly how the chips are going to fall.
We don't know for sure yet, yeah.
But the rest
of it. We can guess.
The rest of it seems to be holding up pretty well.
So far.
And what that means to me is that that is going to be the next thing that gets attacked by the incompetence that Trump is embodying and spreading like a cancer throughout the government.
He is about to start appointing a shit ton of judges.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think once that starts to happen, you'll see the legislative side really start to get fucked up. Because he's not going to get competent judges in there. He's going to get people who either ideologically support weird things he believes in, or people who've shown loyalty to him in the past.
Right.
And that's going to be a big problem.
Or so, frankly, at this point, you might as well just put convicted murderers everywhere. Well, you obviously don't care. You've got that fucker in the Department of Homeland Security who is a murderer.
Clark.
Who is a literal murderer.
Totally.
He murdered people. He's a murderer.
Yeah.
He murdered people.
He's
Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
He's Arpaio Jr.
Yeah. He is a murderer.
Yeah.
Of people.
Yeah.
He's a murderer.
Huh.
He committed the crime of murder.
And was in Russia at the same time as Mike Flynn.
He was?
Yeah.
No shit?
There's pictures of him.
God damn it. Why is a guy from Wisconsin?
A sheriff.
Why is a sheriff from Wisconsin going to, what?
Yeah.
That's real?
That's real. I'll show you the pictures
when
we're
fucked.
Done.
We're fucked. I quit. No, I quit. I'm done. So, I'm done. I give up.
I think.
Russia? You're fine. You win.
Well played.
Yeah. You beat us.
It's
like a game of Go.
Mm-hmm.
And we got our asses kicked.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of this episode. I think that what we can take away from this is Tuesday is not going to bring with it some massive revelation.
Hopefully it will bring the death of Jerome Corsi.
I don't wish that upon him. I wish that he would shut up. I don't want him to, I wish he would stop being such a weasel. But I don't want him dead.
God, how ironic would it be if he did actually die?
That's what I'm afraid of.
That would be so
funny. If he has a heart attack?
No, I mean.
He's an out of shape 70-year-old man.
I mean, more like if he was right.
No.
It would be hilarious.
Can you imagine living in a world?
Accidentally right. Like just by pure happenstance, like this weird coincidence.
Like he has a heart attack.
No. I mean that. The information that he is going to release on Tuesday does get him murdered, but for very different reasons. So it looks like he is the most right he has ever been, and his last thoughts are like, fuck, I was wrong!
What I imagine is more like a Bullworth scenario.
Okay.
Where he hires a hitman to kill him, because he's like, fuck, I've lost my ability to do journalism, I am in bed with people who I shouldn't be, I'm gonna hire this hitman to give me credibility on my way out. And over the course of this Memorial Day weekend, he's going to learn to love and live again and try and call off the hitman and not be able to. And he will be caught up in his own web of propaganda that ends up undoing him, much like the nation of Guatemala was to his mentor, Bernays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's what I
prefer an It's a Wonderful Life situation where instead, it turns out this is how great everybody's life would be if Corsi wasn't there, and the angel just pushes him off that fucking bridge.
That's a possibility,
that
too.
That would be my new Christmas movie every year.
Corsi off a bridge. So I don't think that...
I don't believe in angels, they're memes.
Can you imagine, though, living in a world where Alex isn't lying? And on Tuesday, they break a story that is bigger than Watergate.
Ugh.
And the world has to be like, fuck, Alex did it.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine? I mean, it's not going to happen, but could you imagine?
No, I can't. I can't conceive of that. Like,
of course, it's impossible.
I can't. Like, what the entire world, if it was bigger than Watergate, the entire world shuts down. Like, and then Alex, like, the only possible way that Alex could deal with that is by getting on air and just stripping down naked.
Yep.
Wearing a loincloth, like Castaway, mm-hmm. just like hurling burning sticks up into the air. I am your new god!
Or he has just like a scroll, like a 2 mile long scroll of people who he's like, all right, I need to say fuck you to a lot of people. Dan and Jordan, you're number one. Fuck you.
And he's just got the closing credits line, and it's just a million different names scrolling across very, very fast. And
list
a special
of people who could fuck
a special
themselves.
Special fuck you to it.
Thankfully, that's not going to happen, and Tuesday will bring nothing except more affiliates dropping the Alex Jones Show.
Fuck you, Alex.
So good luck. You are going the way of Hannity, I believe.
And hopefully by next week, Hannity will be off the air.
We'll find out on Tuesday about that as well.
And
what?
I just really want Corsi to die this weekend.
I don't.
I don't wish death on him. I just want to live in a world where Corsi dies.
If,
like, the chaos that would occur, it would be amazing.
I'm going to Google right now, make sure he's still alive. as you're freaking me out.
God, I want him dead.
Good news, he's still alive at this point.
Damn it!
Anyway, we will be back tomorrow with the beginning of my in-depth investigation into what happened to Alex. What went wrong? It's engaging. It's interesting. And it's a bit more fucked up than I expected when I started.
Excellent.
Super fucked up.
Well, in the meantime, can you find us anywhere?
You can find us at knowledgefight.com.
How about on Twitter?
Knowledge_fight.
How about on iTunes?
Just not search Knowledge Fight. We don't have a picture, though.
We'll figure that out sometime.
Yeah, you can find us. Please give a rating, a review. Go ahead. We'd love it.
If you'd like to become a policy wonk, there's a donate button on the website.
Support the show.
Support the show. In the meantime, tomorrow, Corsi may be dead.
He might.
But I'll tell you what.
What's up?
Rappaport still lives!
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.